Is there?
There is. Colby's Lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Colby's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Colby's Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Colby's Nasal Spray.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq's interim prime minister says five foreigners working in Iraq's power sector were among those killed in a car bombing in central Baghdad. He says three other foreigners were seriously hurt. An official with the Iraqi Interior Ministry says the dead were French. Prime Minister Iyad Alawi called the attack unfortunate and cowardly. He says the victims were helping Iraqis rebuild their power stations. The bombing on a busy Baghdad street killed a dozen people in all. Dozens of others were hurt. A second car bomb went off in a town southeast of Baghdad. Four people were killed and several others injured. British officials say two Britons were killed in an explosion, but it's not clear which attack killed them. And Al-Qaeda has resurfaced, claiming responsibility for the abduction of an American in Saudi Arabia. Those involved in this kidnapping say they killed another American in the Saudi capital, the third killing of a Westerner in a week. The abduction appears to be another tactic aimed at destabilizing and sabotaging the vital Saudi oil sector. Statement over the weekend from the group purporting to be Al-Qaeda threatened to treat the abducted American as U.S. troops treated Iraqi prisoners, a reference to sexual and other abuses at the infamous Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. And another development, the body of a man, possibly a Western, was found in the capital Sunday, this according to Saudi security officials. U.S. military says it's making some changes at its jails in Afghanistan. The move comes after a review prompted by alleged abuse of detainees. Lieutenant Colonel Tucker Massinger says that the military is acting on the interim findings of an American general who visited some 20 American jails in Afghanistan. Massinger says that the military is acting without waiting for the general's final report. He declined to give details of the general's suggested improvements or the changes to be made. State Secretary Colin Powell called it a big mistake yesterday. Powell was referring to that State Department report incorrectly showing a decline last year in terrorism worldwide. Powell told a broadcast interview that he was working with the Central Intelligence Agency to determine why the errors got into the report. Agency had helped compile the report, the troubled report. Powell says he's very embarrassed by the error. Powell meets with the CIA later today to redress some of the issues. Voters in the European Parliament elections, having already punished leaders in Great Britain and the Netherlands for getting involved in Iraq, have now turned their attention on German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder and French President Jacques Chirac. Both have been vehemently opposed to the conflict in Iraq. 19 of the 25 nations voted yesterday. Vote revealed anxieties about an issue close to home, the newly expanded European Union itself. Schroeder's Social Democrats suffered a loss yesterday, with their share of the vote falling to 21.6%. Rampant unemployment and Schroeder's plan to cut social programs cost him the election. In France, Chirac's Conservative Union for an Unpopular Movement finished a distant second place behind the Socialist Party. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Before you make another payment on your home, your car, or credit cards, you need to know what's really affecting your finances today. Hello, I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Abundance for Life. Our wealth-making system shows you the underlying cause of almost all financial problems and how to multiply your speed to prosperity. Now, you can get a free CD on eliminating financial problems and generate real wealth from the very first day. Call 1-800-900-4211. Stop thinking you can't be rich. Get the Abundance for Life system. Picture this: your debt, gone. Your home, paid in full. And your bank account overflowing with real wealth. Before you pay another bill, call 1-800-900-4211 to get your free CD on building personal wealth. But you must call today. These CDs are in heavy demand and can't be found anywhere else. Call 1-800-900-4211. That's 1-800-900-4211.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner?
Think about this. Every Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous inspection of up to 141 points. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile limited warranty coverage and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Then all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next Office Supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $389 after a 10% discount. Monitor not included. Taxes extra. Order select systems today and get up to 20% off and free 3 to 5 day shipping. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
Unfiltered. You keep hearing that your vote doesn't count. Well, in the 2000 election, in too many places, your vote didn't count, and that's because the Republicans stole the election. They're not going to get away with it this time.
Yep, we're going to give you information so there's no excuses. Where you can help people vote, how you can be a polling monitor, how you can drive people to the polls, we're going to get you involved. On the next,
Unfiltered.
This Wednesday, Chuck D. and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good God, it's Monday. Today, Dead Reagan Fest is over. The right wing has to deal with the fact that he's not their president anymore. We'll also have the current president's bomb pilot, Barbara Streisand's liberal agenda. I have to learn how to say certain things. I was listening to myself on the radio. I'm here with Mark Riley. We're going Sue-less today. Sue Ellicott has the day off. She's in England for her son's birthday. So kick off your Sues and relax a little bit. I don't know what that means. Hey, so anyways. What I was saying is I have to learn how to talk properly, Riley. I'm listening to myself on the radio, and I have this rolling L problem. Like, I don't say L's with my tongue at the tip of my – you know how you're supposed to say an L with your tongue behind your teeth, like la? I go la. So now it's like wa-wa-wa. You know, like I sound like Barbara – like Gilda Radner used to do that Barbara Wawa thing. And I listen to the radio. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's not that bad.
All right, thanks, man. I thought I needed a speech therapist.
No.
How was your weekend, man?
It was good. I went to a high school reunion in Connecticut. Went with my wife and daughter. Had a good time.
Yeah.
Had a really nice opera. How about yours, man? What'd you do?
I did a lot of things, but the one thing I want to say first and foremost is that the most amazing thing in the world, really, the most amazing thing in the world is Häagen-Dazs's Dulce de Leche ice cream. Now, I know that some people like chocolate, some people like nuts, some people like peanut butter and all this stuff, but if you just want pure milk sugar heaven, like this stuff, like this solved a lot of problems for me this weekend. Because, you know, sometimes when you're alone, you know, and your wife's away and you don't do drugs anymore and, you know, you don't want to, you know, hit the internet again, sometimes, you know, ice cream will solve the problems, man. And I can't, like, this stuff is like, you ever, I don't know, I felt like it was my birthday or something, man, just sitting down with this pint of ice cream. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching, let me just go over my weekend real quick. I felt like smoking. This is a weird – the reason I felt like smoking yesterday, I was watching Paula Zahn, who I'm sort of festering over a little bit.
Festering.
I mean, like, I'm starting to get, like, hot for Paula Zahn.
Uh-oh.
Is that weird? I mean, I'm kind of weird like that because I used to have the hots for Kathy Lee Gifford only because she was so nuts, and I thought that she's most crazy person on television. It kind of turned me on how nuts she was. And now I'm watching Paula Zahn. There's a little bit of that going on. But how tall is Paula Zahn? Like, 7 feet tall? She's, like, huge. Anyways, so I'm watching Paula Zahn, the D-Day special.
Okay.
And Eisenhower's son is talking about Eisenhower during D-Day, smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day and drinking, like, buckets full of coffee. And I'm like, wow. I'm like Eisenhower. I should be smoking four packs a day and drinking buckets of coffee. I have this weird, egocentric, self-centered thing that I do. Even when I did Colin Quinn's show the other night, I asked a makeup artist, I said, do I look old? And do I look like I'm getting older? And she's like, no, you look great. I'm like, it's weird. Like, you ever notice how presidents, like, they look young and within weeks they start aging? You know,
yeah.
So and then
I noticed that in Bill Clinton. But you know what the thing about Eisenhower?
Yeah.
Eisenhower not only smoked four packs a day, I can almost guarantee you he smoked four packs of unfiltered cigarettes a day.
Oh,
and there's
yeah.
a big difference. You know, because you're a reformed smoker.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between smoking Parliaments or smoking even Cools,
right.
which are fairly, but smoking unfiltered anything. Pall Malls, Old Golds, any of those World
serious.
War
II. It's
yeah.
Serious. I mean, I used to smoke an occasional Lucky Strike or Camel No Filter, but I couldn't imagine smoking a whole pack of them. So I'm asking the makeup artist, I'm like, do I look older? Because presidents look older right when they, like, all of a sudden I'm sitting there going, why am I comparing myself to the president? Like, you know, I'm on a radio show now. I should be aging pretty rapidly because the president ages pretty rapidly. Now I'm thinking, like, you know, I smoked all these cigarettes. Maybe I need to be smoking more cigarettes. Who do I think I am, Riley? How much power do I think I have in this little studio?
But did Ike really age? I mean, I remember images of Ike when I was a little kid. First of all, he seemed to be always in television newsreels playing golf someplace.
Right.
But he didn't look like substantially older than he did during the footage that you saw of him in World War II.
He kind
of looked almost ageless.
Well, he's one of those guys that when you have no hair, you're sort of timeless
yeah,
for a long
yeah.
time. Like, I remember seeing pictures of Ike when he was young when I was looking at World War II stuff. And he always looked sort of the same. But you know what? Ike, the interesting thing about D-Day was it could have been a colossal failure. And, you know, and it wasn't. And unlike this administration, it seems like Powell has got a little failure on his hands. Is that true?
Well, now that the rights for Ronald Reagan are concluded, Mark. And we are all happy about that.
The national treasure is buried. If you want a map to find the national treasure, you have to go to President Ronald Reagan's library in Simi Valley.
Absolutely. Well, the nation is turning its attention back to, guess who? President Bush and his handling of the war on terror. First up, the State Department, where Secretary of State Colin Powell did some heavy damage control over the weekend about that inaccurate State Department report on terror. We talked about this at length on Friday. That report maintained that terror incidents worldwide declined in 2003 to levels not seen since the end of the 1960s. The numbers we now know were wrong.
Well, I said last Friday the books have been cooked.
Yeah. Well, it was left to the Secretary of State on several different television talk shows to explain how his people got those numbers wrong.
There's a new terrorist threat information center that compiles this data under the CIA, and we are still trying to determine what went wrong with the data and why we didn't catch it in the State Department.
Now, you see, that's pretty interesting.
Is there new terrorism counting special what?
It's a new terrorism counting data collection center operated by the way. And see, this was the most important thing that Powell said.
That's hilarious.
Operated by the CIA, whose recently deposed boss, George Tenet, was an obvious incompetent.
It's amazing that they keep building these. They're expanding the bureaucracy for blame dispersal outposts. You know, there's a UN resolution for blame dispersal. Now there's the Terrorist Strategic Planning Institute for blame dispersal.
Oh, yeah. And this was, of course, Secretary Powell on ABC's this week, which I had a chance to catch,
yeah.
with George Stephanopoulos kind of saying, well, listen, you know, there are a lot of people who say, and he didn't quote you by
yeah,
name,
yeah, yeah.
but he said there are a lot of people who say that it looked here like these books were artificially cooked to make the administration look good. Secretary Powell, for his part,
yeah.
vehemently yeah. denied that the Bush administration did any such thing, even though, obviously, and we pointed this out on Friday, it is, in fact, the area of terror where Bush is doing best. So maybe cooking the books or the mistake.
And
the coincidental mistake
right.
was in his face. You know, when somebody gives you a dollar
right.
for a 25-cent item and
right.
you're only giving back 50 cents.
Right, right, right.
The quarter's in your favor.
Yeah, well, but with that particular situation, you can't really, it's like, oh, did you give me a dollar?
Yeah. It was an honest mistake. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what Powell essentially was trying to say. And, of course, he also had to deal, and this is one of the problems that the Bush administration is going to continue to have to deal with. He's now dealing with a triangle scenario. He's dealing with the war on terror as a separate entity. He's dealing now with Iraq, and he's dealing with the recent violence in Saudi Arabia, where three Westerners, two of them Americans, were killed in the past week, and one American by the name of Paul Johnson has reportedly been kidnapped. Although last week, the administration's counterterrorism chief said that the Saudis were doing all they could
yeah.
to fight terror in the kingdom, Secretary Powell told Fox News Sunday they could be doing more.
They know that it's going to require all their resources, not only their military and police resources. They have to cut off funding to the kinds of organizations that might have given comfort to these sorts of terrorist activities. And Saudis know they've got a battle on their hands.
But, well, I mean, Saudi Arabia, let's not forget, is this stuff has been going on for years there. I mean, there's been nothing but, you know, anti-American, you know, anti-Israeli fervor that is sort of endorsed by the Saudi, you know, by the ruling family. And they displace it. They allow this to go on so these insurgents don't, you know, come against them. And now it's sort of backfiring in their face. And also, you know, the Bush father, you know, HW had nurtured this relationship. I mean, the Saudi relationship with the United States is almost all, can all be traced back to the nurturing from the first George Bush, even before he was president.
Well, yeah, and Mark, one of the things that has gone on here, and people forget this, there were many in the fundamentalist Islamic world who were very, very upset when during the first Gulf War, the Saudis allowed the U.S. to land planes on their soil.
To
put up army bases and this sort of thing. And that resentment has been simmering for the better part of a decade. And now we're starting to see, as developments take place in Iraq, as developments take place in other areas, that Al-Qaeda, apparently, has seen fit to say, okay, this is an area that we can have an impact. And, of course, they want to disrupt the Saudi pipeline to the United States. That, of course, would end up keeping gas prices high. And I don't think it's an accident that a lot of this violence started in the wake of the Saudis saying that they were going to start putting more oil in that pipeline.
Right. They also want the Americans out. And to finish your metaphor, that this has been simmering for a long time, and it really came to boil in the mind of Osama bin Laden.
Absolutely.
And he is the one that, you know, who said that this is what this is about. This is about Palestine. This is also about getting the Americans out of Saudi Arabia at any cost.
And see, now we have a situation where you correctly point out Paul Johnson, 49-year-old from New Jersey working for Lockheed Martin, has been abducted by Al-Qaeda, and they say they will treat Paul Johnson the way Iraqi prisoners were treated at Abu Ghraib.
Wow.
Direct tie-in there.
Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot plus the liberal agenda and much more here on Air America Radio.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Great news from Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. Now there's a card that can get you Viagra for free. Introducing the Value Card for Viagra. With it, every time you fill 6 eligible prescriptions, you'll get the next one completely free. There's no other Viagra, and there's no other offer like this. To get your card, ask your pharmacist or healthcare provider, or go to ViagraCard.com. See the value again and again with the Value Card for Viagra. Go to ViagraCard.com today. Offer may not be available in all areas.
New York City's recycling program was fully restored on April 1st, and we thank all of you for helping. But to make recycling work, we need everyone's participation. After a 3-month public education campaign, the city will start citing violators on July 1st for not recycling their glass, bottles, and jars. Fines are $25 per violation. If you're already recycling properly, you don't need to worry. For questions, recycling decals, or pliers, please call 311. Thanks for doing your part, New York. Brought to you by the Department of Sanitation.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. Sue is gone for the day, but if you miss her,
good morning.
There you go.
She is in England. It's her son's birthday. Now we're talking about. Now we are moving into a different part of the terrorist issue. I mean, you have to understand something about if anybody's thinking about voting for George Bush on his record, you've got to be completely stupid. I mean, there's without a question, you're irrational. I mean, the interesting thing about the Bush's current approval ratings is that, you know, on approval, it's 49%. The economy is people don't approve. 58% disapprove, 41% approve. 54% disapprove of foreign affairs, 44% approve. 57% disapprove on Iraq, 41% approve. He's low in everything but terrorism. And this is the one area where it should be unquestionable that the dude is losing. I mean, he's created more terrorism in this world than done anything to stop it. And now with the nuclear stuff really creeps me out.
That's the Iranians now. Now, we're not even talking about the Iraqis, but what you're speaking to, Mark, is the fact that the president of the United States has created a war on terror that this country seemingly cannot win. And that's the scary part. We are in a situation now where Iraq commands our attention. Saudi Arabia commands our attention. All these different places, Afghanistan, although you wouldn't know it, should be commanding our attention. What the Kurds are going to do in northern Iraq should be commanding our attention. All of these things commanding our attention, and as the run-up to Iraqi sovereignty continues, because today is the 14th, 16 more days before they're supposed to have a government in place and running and taking over their country, at least 20 people have been killed in a wave of attacks that included the assassination of two high-ranking officials in that interim government.
There's not going to be anything left to the interim government by the time it gets to turnover time. And the place is out of control, Riley.
I know.
It's out of control. They're blowing up everything left and right. And, like, just right here, I mean, you know, I've still got, you know, stuff that I like to read from the International Institute of Strategic Studies is that, you know, driving Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan, dispersed them into many countries, making them almost invisible and harder to combat, a lot of them in Iraq. The U.S. occupation of Iraq brought 1,000 foreign Islamic fighters into the country that weren't there before.
Absolutely.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, what it also – see, the other part that I think people are starting to understand, hopefully, is that these folks have shifted their strategy. They know that the top officials in the Iraqi government are extremely – and I mean extremely – well-protected.
They've
got people around them all the time. They've got Americans around them.
They've got bulletproof kafirs on
them. Yeah. Now, what they've decided to do then – is to start hitting middle and upper level Iraqi officials.
Right.
Which is actually
superintendent of the schools.
Yeah. Yeah. School people, foreign ministry people, not the folks that have the strongest protection. And what does our Secretary of State say when asked about this? Colin Powell says, and I'm quoting here, it's hard to protect an entire government.
Well, that sounds a lot like what we heard Rumsfeld said. You know, it's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like President Bush, I can understand why the American people think we're going to get hit again. They saw what happened in Madrid. This is a hard country to defend. None of these guys seem to have a clue or a plan on how to fight terrorism, let alone the Iranian thing, which I think we're going to talk about in a little while.
Well, Iran, let's talk about it now. Iran is rejecting international restrictions on its nuclear program. Tehran, which is the government there, has challenged the world to accept it as a member of the nuclear club. Now, let's think for a moment exactly what that means.
Can I just say one thing, though?
Please.
Before you say that, the nuclear club, you know, at this point in history, you know, I think my neighbors could be a member of the nuclear club. There could be five guys in a basement apartment in Germany going, we are members of the nuclear club, too. This nuclear club is exclusionary.
Well, you know, if you started counting up the governments, you'd just about have enough people for a soccer team, I think.
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand. You know, we'll get back to what you're saying just right away, is that how can this administration not get an international coalition of people that can somehow manage, you know, nuclear materials?
Here's where the problem lies. The American, our government, obviously, has not only nuclear weapons capability, we have every nuclear weapon known to mankind we have and can deliver if we need to.
Right.
We are the primo member of the nuclear club.
Right.
What we see going on in other parts of the world, and this is true, I think, to an extent with India and Pakistan, it's true certainly in Southeast Asia, certainly as far as the Chinese are concerned, and we're seeing it now in the Middle East, is countries saying, you know what, you can't tell us what to do in terms of our decisions about nuclear, not nuclear weapons, but about nuclear technology. Because that's what the Iranians are. The Iranians are saying, we're not making bombs. We are exploring this nuclear technology specifically to generate power.
Right. We're making power plants.
Yeah.
We're not making bombs.
We're not making bombs.
We're gonna purify some of that uranium, but that's for a new speedboat that we're making, Islamic-powered speedboat. But the interesting thing to me is that how can, you know, I think a lot of this, the announcements of something, somebody like Iran, has to have something to do with the fact that if George Bush said, you know, we're going to go into Iran, first of all, he'd have no support internationally, no support within Washington. He doesn't have the troops anymore. So what do these countries have to lose by announcing that they're nuclear powers?
You know what I think may be at work here? I think that the Iranians are making this very specific announcement to say something to the Americans. First of all, remember that there is a Iran is essentially a Shiite nation. And there are, I believe it is a Shiite nation. And you have large numbers of Shiites living in Iraq as well. And there's always been a back and forth of information, intelligence, ask Ahmad Shalabi, and other things.
Mr.
Going,
Intelligence.
Yeah, Mr. Intelligence. These things have gone on for some years now between Iraq and Iran. And I don't think it's any accident, quite frankly, that the Iranians make this statement as we're getting into the serious run-up of a sovereign Iraqi government.
So are you suggesting that there may be some sort of a reaching out to Iraq in a way? That, you know, maybe that they're going to come together? And that could be disastrous.
Well, I think what the Iranians may be saying is to the Americans. Because
right.
I think they see the Americans
right.
as being the ones that are forming this government. Be careful the makeup of this government.
Right.
Don't put too many Sunnis in there. At the expense of the Shiites, because that's going to make us angry. Now, I think that the Iranians, quite frankly, are prepared to go as far as the Americans will let them in terms of developing this technology. And remember, they have the ability, as do the Pakistanis, as do apparently the North Koreans, to get the materials necessary to create whatever nuclear fissure for whatever purposes they apparently want.
So you're saying that Bush has succeeded in creating an entirely new enemy that is a collective that could very quickly become a collective, certainly between Iran and Iraq in terms of which type of Muslim is in charge.
Yeah.
And also with these other, you know, nuclear states that could be our enemy in a second.
Well, ask yourself this question.
Yeah.
What do you think the Iranians will do or are thinking about the fact that there's all this violence in the run-up to the sovereignty? Do they think that this Iraqi government will in fact stand, or will the country descend into civil war, which has deep implications for Iran? Iran and Iraq are neighbors.
But what if Iran takes a side and backs whoever's going to be fighting this civil war? That's what I'm asking you. Is that a possibility that Iran would step in and become part of the war?
They might.
Wow.
They might. Well, now, we've just gotten information from our producer. There's been another car bombing early this morning in Iraq, and one American has, in fact, been killed. Again,
oh my God.
This kind
it's
of
like
sporadic,
a disaster.
Periodic violence is taking place. And, you know, you also have, and we're going to make this very quick, the International Committee of the Red Cross, you remember them, the
right.
people who told us about Abu Ghraib well before Abu Ghraib.
And they were trying to shut him up, though.
Yeah, they definitely were trying to shut him up. They say the U.S. must either charge Saddam Hussein by June 30th, when Iraqi sovereignty takes place, or he must be released. Otherwise, the ICRC says the U.S. and Iraqi governments will be violating international law. And if that weren't enough, a group of 26 former senior diplomats and military officials plan to issue a joint statement later this week, charging President Bush has damaged American national security and should be replaced.
Yeah, that's right. See, this whole like unilateralism is going to come back to kick him in the ass, and it should. You know, I mean, this is a guy that completely alienated the entire world
Absolutely. Away from us.
And remember that this group, which calls itself Diplomats and Military Commanders for Change, consists of people appointed to key posts during the administrations of both Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush.
We'll talk about it more later.
Straight ahead, the presidential palm pilot, Kerry hits Bush on stem cells, and you on the phones about the separation of church and state. This is Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq's Prime Minister Iyad Alawi says five foreigners working in Iraq's power sector were among those killed in a car bombing in central Baghdad. He says three other foreigners were seriously hurt. An official with the Iraqi Interior Ministry says the dead were French and one American. Friends and family are praying for an American contractor apparently kidnapped in Saudi Arabia. They've put up yellow ribbons as a symbol of hope for Paul Johnson. His son told a broadcast interview this morning that his father's lived in Saudi Arabia since 1983, working for Lockheed Martin. Changes are in the offing for the U.S. military with the running of the prison system in Afghanistan. A review of the system has prompted the changes, this in response to charges of prisoner abuse in the country. And President Bush and Democratic challenger John Kerry are back on the campaign trail today following last week's observance of the passing of former Republican President Ronald Reagan. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome to our new building.
Wow. You guys must be hitting the big time. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. And I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to commit right now.
Listen, I've known you since you started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions.
True.
We had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped us with our new office and warehouse, and I stayed within budget.
Man.
It was half the cost of conventional construction.
Half?
And it took half the time.
You mean this is a steel building? It looks great.
Well, the building I ordered from the General was engineered for our area and to fit our needs. Well, this building is actually the reason we're hitting the big time.
Call toll-free 1-888-39-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. 1-888-39-STEEL. That's 1-888-39-STEEL.
The Majority Report.
I guess we don't lie, but we don't have to. I mean, I suppose if we had to lie, like Limbaugh has to lie, because otherwise he wouldn't really be able to have a show.
But also he suffers from the same type of delusional disconnect that a lot of right-wingers do.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
When I make $25 million a year doing this job, I'm going to be as piggish and demagogic as Limbaugh. I just won't have to lie.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
33 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. I'm with Mark Riley. It's Air America Radio. Sue is in England for her son's birthday, but here if you love Sue.
Good morning.
I love this machine. It's now time for our exclusive look into the presidential Palm Pilot, which is downloaded to me by my buddy who kind of, you know, sneaks around the Oval Office. He's part of the janitorial staff. The what do you call it? The cleanup crew.
Yeah.
Here we go. President scheduled for today, 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Everything is Clinton's fault. Wait. Clinton's visiting the White House today. New message. Everything is Carter's fault. Yeah, yeah, Carter. He's the one. You want to put the right music on, Chris? All right. 9:30 a.m. Welcome Bill Clinton to White House. Make sure Jen and Barbara are nowhere near Washington. 10 a.m. Unveiling of Clinton's portrait. Tell him that it makes him look soft on terrorism. 10:30 a.m. Ask Clinton how to change the outgoing message on the voicemail. 11 a.m. President Clinton with steam. Yeah, present Clinton with steam cleaning bill for Oval Office. Noon, vigorous exercise. I'm still thinner than he is. 4 o'clock p.m. Congratulate Dad on successful 80th birthday parachute jump. Cancel reading of the will. 5 o'clock p.m. Make absolutely sure Clinton has left the White House. Check closets. 8 o'clock p.m. Dinner. Make absolutely sure Clinton has left the White House. Count the silverware. 9 p.m. Lights out. Make absolutely sure Clinton has left the White House. Check under bed. 1 a.m. Alone time with Clinton portrait. Make sure eyes do not follow me.
Oh, Lord. By the way, did you know that that Clinton portrait was done by an African-American? It's the first time an African-American artist has ever been commissioned to draw an official portrait of the President of the United States.
Oh, that's great. That's
great. From Silver Springs, Maryland.
Is it on the line? I want to check out.
I don't know. I just read an article about it in one of the papers yesterday.
Oh, they're going to unveil today, so I guess we'll all see it today.
Yeah.
So now that Reagan is dead and buried, it's John Kerry, not George Bush, that has successfully aligned himself with the legacy of Reagan by siding up to Nancy Reagan in her pro-stem cell research campaign. Kerry has endorsed Nancy Reagan's efforts to help find a cure for Alzheimer's disease and challenged the Bush administration Saturday to relax restrictions on stem cell research to pursue potential cures for that and other illnesses. Kerry said that stem cells have the power to slow the loss, I'm quoting, of a grandmother's memory, calm the hand of an uncle with Parkinson's, save a child from a lifetime of daily insulin shots, or permanently lift a best friend from his wheelchair. It's interesting with this stem cell thing, with this stem cell policy and this campaign to change policy on it, it almost seems like, you know, after all is said and done, Reagan dies, it almost looks like Bush killed him.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, that's the sort of metaphorical implications of Bush's policy, which is, you know, he sort of admits that it's an important medical breakthrough, but he can't allow it to happen because he's got to pander to this base, this very, you know, evangelical Christian base that sees that embryonic stem cell research is on par with abortion in terms of destroying or killing human life. And they also, like the British, have started to clone a human.
Well, and you know, Mark, that's exactly why people who are pro-choice are so vehement when they hear, you know, the pro-life people going into trying to get laws passed to limit, quote, or ban, quote, partial birth abortion and that sort of thing. Because this whole stem cell controversy is around the question of what constitutes human life.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous.
Of course it is. But his base, Bush's base, says
I think he's in trouble.
That harvesting these stem cells destroys human embryos, and they believe that human embryos have the potential to become human life and therefore should not be destroyed.
But also, you know, embryonic stem cells, like unlike other kinds of stem cells, can grow to become any kind of human cell, making them more versatile. This is like how they can use it to help, you know, regrow damaged tissue from numerous types of diseases. They can help them to, you know, fight cancer and combating malignancies. It can help them to fight, you know, so many, you know, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's in, you know, rebuilding brain cells. I mean, this is a fascinating new technology that we are not, you know, pursuing because our president panders to and caters to unrational religious fanatics. I mean, it's a ridiculous reality that we have to live with. I mean, right now, supporters of embryonic stem cell research are, you know, 206 members of the House, 58 U.S. senators, including 14 Republicans, Nancy Reagan, and all rational people.
Well, you can even go further than that.
Okay,
you want to go further? Let's go further.
Take it out, Riley.
There are estimates that there will be some 16 to 18 million people in America with Alzheimer's by, I believe it's the year 2050, somewhere in that area. You know what's gonna blow Bush out of the water? It's not, I mean, part of it could be legislation, part of it could be Nancy Reagan, but what's going to blow Bush and his argument and his base out of the water on stem cell research is when the cohort of baby boomers start getting into the Alzheimer's age, which they are not quite yet. In other words, when people born, the baby boom years are from 1946 to 1964.
Oh, I'm one of them. Right? I'm like the last one.
Yeah, so you figure the people that were born in 1946 will be retiring in about another 5-6 years.
Right.
They will then, because Alzheimer's strikes people predominantly 65 and older, you're going to see a huge swelling in the Alzheimer's population. You are then going to see a huge swelling and remember that baby boomers, as they get older, tend to vote in much, much higher percentages than younger people.
I think the elderly in general kind of, you know, have more respect for the democratic process.
Oh, yeah, the electoral process.
But the wild thing about this is that his policies, you know, is that U.S. will not fund research on embryonic stem cells except on more than the 60 genetically diverse stem cells already existing, which is, it's just ridiculous because apparently some of these stem cell lines are contaminated with mice cells, which, you know, I mean, you know, did you see the movie The Fly? We got to make some new stem cell lines, you know, and this can be done in a lab. It doesn't require the idea, and we're going to have a guy on later in I think the 8 o'clock hour who's going to address this, an atheist who really is addressing the cellular reality of this, that, you know, that these things are essentially useful, and that other countries are starting to make progress in making it happen. And we are really behind the pack because we are being, our policy is being dictated by people who think in a primitive way.
Does George W. Bush want to go down in history as the president who didn't prevent people from getting Alzheimer's? That's what it's going to boil down to.
And these same religious fanatics are against cloning. Now, with cloning is a little more difficult an issue, you know what I mean? That, you know, I have often thought...
I don't know if I want anybody else in the world that looks like me or is
weird?
Me.
I've often thought it would be interesting that, you know, clone another me just to have around to, you know, beat up so I wouldn't beat myself up.
You know, I had an older brother who was stillborn, who was born a year before me. I always wondered what life would have been like for me had he lived. You know what I mean? It's one of those things you just think of off the top of your head.
Well, we're going to take calls on this, you know, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We want to hear from all you Catholics out there about some of this more religious stuff. I didn't get to that thing about the Pope, which I will get into after the break. What's your take on the embryonic stem cell controversy and just science in general in a rational world? We'll put you on the line right here on Air America Radio.
How was your date last night? Really good. He's adorable.
Is he good looking?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't wear my glasses on dates. Are you kidding?
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area. And they're the only ones who actually teach it to other doctors. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also, take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
All right. Now that you have bladeless LASIK, what does he look like? Would you date him again?
Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture and a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Past the hour. Good morning. Morning Sedition here. Mark Maron, Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Sue Ellicott is in England today. She will be back tomorrow. We're talking about embryonic stem cell research. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. What do you think about that? I'd like to hear from some Catholics. I'd like to hear from some people who are on the fence about it, because I think it's a very rational thing to do to help save lives in the future. Also, the Pope, interestingly enough, Pope, President Bush, as you know, was at the Pope's house and looking very small, him and Barbara looking like a couple of rubes meeting the pontiff. And they asked the Pope, apparently there was a secret meeting after they met the Pope in public, where President Bush talked to a top Vatican official and asked him if he could maybe, you know, use a little pull to get American bishops to speak out more about political issues, including same-sex marriage, probably abortion. Hypothetically, I'm assuming that these cultural war issues, he was asking for a little help in the American Catholic communities to get on board with him. And it's unclear by the article whether or not the Vatican is going to do it or not. But I think, you know, maybe the Pope was sort of like, hey, why don't you ask Bush if he remembers Carla Faye Tucker? You remember that? Carla Faye Tucker was on death row in Texas. And when Bush was governor, she was set to die, and she had completely changed her life. She'd become a productive prisoner. She had had a religious conversion. She was, you know, doing everything she could to help and change her life, and made appeals to the world to save her. Not just to Bush, but to the Pope.
To the Pope.
And the Pope called Bush up, and it's conjecture, but the Pope says, don't kill her.
He did say, don't kill her.
He said, don't kill her, and Bush said, nope, forget about it. She's going down. I'm frying her. He even made fun of her on Larry King. George Bush Jr. said, please, please, don't kill me. Don't kill me. And maybe that's what the Pope said. You remember that? Remember this? Please, please, don't kill me. Don't kill me.
I don't know what happened. First of all, if George W. Bush approached the Vatican for political help, that is, and I'm not a Catholic, so I'm not judging based on, you know, Catholicism. But that is just, like, so low, man. How can you be so low as to ask for political help from such as the Vatican?
That's sort of desperate, especially considering he is this evangelical Christian, and that, you know, the Catholic he looks so out of place there, and it seems sort of desperate. He's asking everybody for help.
Well, I mean, what was he saying? Do me a favor, excommunicate John Kerry? I mean, what are you supposed to say? How do you ask?
You know, it's shameless and arrogant, and there's a smugness to it. Are we taking calls here? Chris from Manhattan, how are you?
How you doing?
Good. Hey,
what's
Chris,
on your mind, Chris?
Let me tell you, this really hit home with me last December, late November, early December. My wife had a miscarriage, and when she was going into procedure to remove the fetus, the night before we discussed, me and my wife discussed that we wanted to donate the body to science, And as we're going in, we told the doctor, and I'm still, I'm not being dramatic. I mean, it still really annoys me. The doctor said, you can't do it anymore. I was under Clinton, not under Bush. And I was thinking, well, who are they to tell me what I can do with, you know, myself and my wife can do with our unborn child? And it's sickening. You know, so what are we, we're not going to be able to donate your own you know, it's
right, right. You wanted to help out. You know, you had a personal tragedy that you saw could help other people. And they told you that you couldn't do it. I don't know what that means, that it was under Clinton or what, but it was obviously the protocol of that hospital, you know, not to to do that. But it's probably even worse now. This is a guy that reached out. He said, you know, look, we've had this horrible thing happen, but, you know, it's sort of like donating organs, you know.
Can you imagine? And to have somebody say, that's under Clinton, or that was under Clinton, not under Bush. You can't do it for politics. That's essentially what the man was saying.
Miguel in Brooklyn. How are you, Miguel?
Hey, what's up, Miguel?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
What's on your mind?
I love your show. What I got to say is I'm a Catholic, but I'm not going to stop technology, you know, from going, you know, forward.
Yeah.
What I'll do is, like, if it happens and I feel it's bad for me, I'm not going to use it. I'm going to let whoever want to use it to use it.
Right, right.
Yeah, that seems like a perfectly
rational
approach, Miguel. The idea that, hey, it may not be for him. He may not be able to take advantage, but there may be somebody in his family, maybe somebody in a circle.
Right. I got to ask you a question. I mean, you know, look, we all have principles. You know, I have a few. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, if Miguel's in a situation, I'm not going to say Miguel, but let's say you're a Catholic and you're in a situation, you know, where, you know, you realize you're going to die. Your brain is corroding away. Your body is withering away and you're going to die. I mean, and the doctor says, well, look, you know, we can try this new thing. You know, it does use embryonic stem cells, you know, but they weren't necessarily attached to any humans. You know, they were made in a lab. Do you want to do it? And I'd be curious to hear that argument, you know, when that happens.
Whether or not people would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to admit, I would have to think that some people at that point would have to say, you know, God, even if they dropped to their knees and prayed and said, God, what do you want me to do here? I bet you about 80% of the time God would want them to get the treatment.
Well, I mean, if you think that – if the next situation is one of those where people are saying, you want to be able, you don't want to have physician-assisted suicide. That was the thought I was trying to get across. If you're talking about not wanting to have physician-assisted suicide, how can you then not say that someone have access to a technology that might save their life? If you reject stem cell, the injection of stem cells, are you doing the same thing as committing suicide?
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. The assisted suicide thing is the other thing. I mean, these should be issues of choice for every human
being. For everybody,
being.
Yeah. It's just inconsistent.
Yeah. Sue in England. Sue? Hello?
I miss you guys.
Oh, hey! What's up?
I'm looking out of my window and there's a topless sunbathe and I thought I had to call you because you could both really be into it.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Can you send photos?
I'm not sure. I can try. My husband might not like that.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
How's it going over there? What's going on?
I'm in the middle of making the birthday cake. It's lemon vanilla.
Oh.
Bring us some.
Well, say happy birthday.
I'm bringing you Mars bars.
Say happy birthday to your kid for us.
I will. He's turning 8.
8 years old. Fantastic.
I almost didn't make it. I got to the airport on Friday, and I forgot my passport and missed my flight.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. So what happened? Did they detain you?
No, but I just sobbed my way back on the A train back into Manhattan, got the passport, and came back out and managed to get on the last flight of the night, standby. I was a complete wreck.
Well, I'm glad you made it, Sue. We'll see you tomorrow, right?
Okay,
bye, Sue.
Right. Good show, bye.
Take care.
That was Sue Ellicott, who's usually here in studio calling us from England.
Making a birthday cake.
So we're going to take more calls. This seems like a pretty exciting topic, embryonic stem cell research, Catholics. Give us a call, and we'll take your call right here. We got the Liberal Agenda coming up, 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. Man, it's a big morning here, Riley.
Yep,
so
we're not finished.
Come on back.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Are you losing your hair?
Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber and épée. You've got to see it. That's why Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You can win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Past the hour. We're taking your calls, 866-303-2270. We're talking about embryonic stem cell research and the controversy around it. We're also, in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to have the editor of American Atheist Magazine on our show to discuss this further. This is going to be a sort of a theme throughout the, this hour and the 8 o'clock hour. We've got Todd. How are you, Todd?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. You're in Indiana?
Yes, I am.
What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I'm legally blind. I have problems with my retinas, and the only avenue of treatment that I see coming for me is stem cell research. And I don't know what country Bush is the president of, but it's not mine.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry to hear that about your condition. And I think it's the rational way to think that, you know, if it'll help, it'll help. It's not taking life away from anybody. It's giving life to people that need it.
Todd, what do doctors tell you about what stem cell research can do for you real quickly?
Well, they haven't really said much. They generally seem to try to downplay it because they don't want to give a false hope when they're talking to me. They say, well, you know, 15, 20 years from now, maybe. And that's all I ever hear. And I've heard 15, 20 years from now for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, thanks for your call, Todd. I hope I wish you well.
Multiply, Mark, that call by thousands of people across this country who have different afflictions, not just the Alzheimer's, not just the ones that you hear about, not just
Nancy Reagan's. Yeah, it's the one avenue of hope that they have is this, is this, you know, tremendous new medical technology that could help so many. Herb, quickly, we got a second or two. What do you got?
Okay, for two reasons. If cloning can be made to work for reproduction, I think it would be the preferred method. First of all,
preferred as to the regular sex thing,
right? Because for example, in
but we can still have sex, right, Herb?
What?
We can still have sex.
Yes. But,
okay.
But I mean, like say the navel oranges, for example.
Yes.
You can't. You have to do it by cutting, by cloning.
Right.
Otherwise, you don't know what you're getting. Now, people like the idea of the randomness of it all because it's tradition. But on the other hand, you can also solve Malthusian problem.
Right.
Adjust the population of food supply easily.
Right. Well, thanks for calling. We got to run, but you know, I understand what you're saying. I tend to like the sex element of reproduction.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would not want to do anything that would stop. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what he was saying is that we could ultimately, you know, produce people with no belly buttons. And wasn't that the? I'm not sure. That's our liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. I'm kidding, Herb. I appreciate your call, and we understand what you're saying. Here's your marching orders for today. Get your pens out. One, organize. Mixer welcoming Iran into nuclear club. Two, protest abuse of computer-generated cats in the movie Garfield. That is an issue. Three, boycott Pittsburgh Pirates as offensive to Americans of seafaring descent. 4, file a lawsuit against Avion for causing your water weight gain. And today, 5, today's phrase, just dropped us in the conversation somewhere. Clinton was responsible for Reagan living that long. There you go. There you go.
And there is a liberal agenda. And words to live by, as a matter of fact.
I feel bad. I feel like I was making fun of Herb. We appreciate your input, Herb.
No, and, aside from the no-sex thing,
he's just saying that these kind of technologies will make life better.
In the next hour of Morning Sedition, does anyone think we're winning the war on terror? We've got stories that might change your mind, plus the Dream Diary, health care reform, and more right here on Air America Radio.
Air America Radio merchandise on sale now at AirAmericaRadio.com. AirAmericaRadio.com. All your clothes suck, so buy ours. The Air America Radio Thong. Classic, elegant, and just one of dozens of new items on sale now at AirAmericaRadio.com. Wear your descent, or just drink coffee from it. Air America Radio merchandise on sale now.
S-E-X on TBS. Sex and the City is on TBS. All week long on TBS. Sex and the City is on TBS. Smart, sexy, self-sufficient, single-minded, single gals. Carrie, Charlotte, and Miranda. All the guys who want Samantha.
Living. Love it.
Lots of laughs. Large libido.
Landing strip.
Sex and the City is on TBS.
Sex and the City. All week long at 10, 9 Central on TBS. Viewer discretion is advised.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq's interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi used the words unfortunate and cowardly to describe the latest car bombing attack in central Baghdad. Among the victims were 5 foreigners working in Iraq's power sector. 3 of the foreigners were seriously hurt. An official with the Iraqi Interior Ministry says the dead were French. Alawi said the victims were all trying to help rebuild Iraq's power stations. More reports say a dozen people were all killed in the car bombing attack. A second car bomb went off in the town southeast of Baghdad. 4 people were killed there, several others injured. Vigil has begun by family and friends of American contractor Paul Johnson here in the States. He was the victim of a weekend kidnapping in Saudi Arabia, allegedly by elements linked to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. Johnson's son says his father has been working in the country since 1983 for Lockheed Martin. The abduction appears to be another tactic aimed at sabotaging the vital Saudi oil sector. Kidnappers say they intend to treat Johnson the same way American troops treated the Iraqi detainees at the Abu Ghraib prison. Turning to the presidential campaign trail, there's word that Catholics are apparently split when it comes to voting for either Democrat John Kerry and President George W. Bush. According to the latest research, only 33% of Americans know that Kerry is a Catholic. Time magazine says 65% of the voters did not know Kerry is Catholic. The magazine says that's a potent sign that Americans still don't know a lot about John Kerry, even though he's now beating out Bush in the latest polls. Speculation has it that if more Catholics knew Kerry was Catholic, they would vote for him in larger numbers. President Bush and Democratic challenger John Kerry resumed campaigning today after a break to mourn former President Ronald Reagan. They're also resuming their television ads after a one-day hiatus Friday, the day Reagan was buried. Today, President Bush heads to Liberty, Missouri to promote Medicare prescription drug benefits. Kerry begins the week by releasing a state-by-state report on the state of middle-class America. Tomorrow, he's off to Atlantic City, New Jersey and Columbus, Ohio for events focusing on the economy. The president's father, former President George H.W. Bush, that is, over the weekend celebrated his 80th birthday, jumping out of a plane 13,000 feet above the ground like he did 5 years before. Bush said this time it was comforting being in the arms of another man as he descended to the ground.
When you're in the arms of an experienced paratrooper, parachute jumper, well, you have far less concerns. So in a way, I was much more at ease because I didn't have to worry about doing any of the work myself, including opening the parachute.
Former President George Bush, as he celebrated his 80th birthday yesterday. Former Washington, D.C. Mayor Marion Barry announced over the weekend that he is running for the city council in the nation's capital. It will be yet another political comeback for the 68-year-old former mayor who survived a drug arrest, a prison sentence, and prostate cancer. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Welcome to our new building.
Wow. You guys must be hitting the big time. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. And I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to commit right now.
Listen, I've known you since you started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions.
True.
We had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped us with our new office and warehouse, and I stayed within budget.
Man.
It was half the cost of conventional construction,
half?
And it took half the time.
You mean this is a steel building? It looks great.
Well, the building I ordered from the General was engineered for our area and to fit our needs. Well, this building is actually the reason we're hitting the big time.
Call toll-free 1-888-39-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. 1-888-39-STEEL. That's 1-888-39-STEEL.
We can't give our dads more ties for Father's Day.
Yeah, we need a more emotional tie.
Bad pun, but good idea. Let's name a star after them.
It's the best Father's Day gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
A star for Father's Day? A bright idea.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $389 after a 10% discount. Monitor not included. Taxes extra. Order select systems today and get up to 20% off and free 3 to 5 day shipping. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
Randy Rhodes.
I've taken it upon myself to label the president's sovereignty, because there's no sovereignty in his chocolatey sovereignty. It's just chocolatey. So transferring the title of a 78 Pinto that's in flames. Do you know what I mean? The freaking thing is on fire, and it's been broken down in the breakdown lane of the Major Deegan Expressway. But for those of you not up here, I-95, that covers the entire freaking East Coast, okay?
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
George Bush declared Ronald Reagan a national treasure. Well, now he's a buried treasure, and if you want the map to that treasure, you go to the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley. So now that the spotlight's back on George Bush, we're taking him to Recovery Corner. Plus, I've had a whole weekend to fill up my dream diary. That's coming up. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is in England. She just called us. She's baking a cake for her kid.
Happy birthday.
Whose birthday is today. He's 8. And, you know, onward and into the show here, Mark Riley. My dreams, the dream diary today is from last night, the night before last night. The night before last, I had a dream about my cat, Butch.
Uh-oh.
My dead cat, Butch. You know what's weird, though, man? I'm sitting there in the dream, and Butch is on my chest, and I'm petting her, you know? And there's, you know, but I know in the dream, like, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm dreaming, and you're dead, but thanks for hanging out. Like, I knew that, like, this was all BS, and that was dream time, but I was kind of happy to be hanging out with my old cat.
I had a dream like that, too, actually. I told you about it earlier.
Oh, yeah, that was a pretty interesting, long, wild
bizarre
dream.
Yeah, and we're not going to get into it here. Okay. You have the diary. Right.
But, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about, the dream diary is coming up, but, you know, the Iran steps up and says that it wants to become, that it is part of the nuclear club. Now, First of all, I'm not so sure that some of my neighbors aren't members of that club or that there's enough nuclear materials floating around the world that perhaps there's any number of people in basements in different parts of the world saying, we are part of that club, too. They don't, it's an exclusionary club. We should all be members, you know. But this brings up an interesting thing about the administration is that because we've alienated all this international support in so many ways, that instead of, like, you know, letting this stuff, you know, get all over the place, these nuclear materials, and not knowing who has what, I mean, if we had some sort of international, what was it, not a consortium, but some sort of coalition to, like, their main priority should be to sort of, you know, keep this stuff in check. Where is all this nuclear materials? I mean, that should be the priority of this planet, not to make new nuclear weapons and not to go, well, I wonder where it is, but everybody should be on the same page about these nuclear materials. I mean, that should be the agenda of a, you know, a decent and responsible presidential administration. The fact that this guy encourages terrorism, is helping the terrorists, and I'm talking about George Bush, by not managing this stuff and also by, you know, attacking a country and then not being responsible about how it's rebuilt. Afghanistan, Iraq are now havens for terrorism in ways they've never been before. We don't know where the nuclear materials are, and the entire international community wants nothing to do with them. Right now, there's an article up that says, you know, retired officials from many different administrations, 26 ex-diplomats and military leaders say his foreign policy has harmed national security, not to mention international security. This guy has got to go. I mean, there's no reason that anybody should vote for him unless you're completely delusionary, i.e. religious fanatic, or just stupid.
Well, we have, in terms of the Nuclear Proliferation Club, a very, very strange situation because, Mark, there are agencies, both in the UN and in the United States and internationally, that are supposed to have a handle on who has nukes, who has the potential to use them, what they're being used for, all of those different things. The problem is that this government, specifically this administration, has managed to alienate virtually all of them. Remember that guys like Hans Blix, guys, some of these other folks that have been part of UNSCOM and some of these other organizations, that was their job. When they talk about weapons of mass destruction, among the things they're talking about are nuclear materials.
Well, right here, Hans Blix is like, you know, this is like an interesting thing because it can lead into what we're going to talk about right now, is that the number of intelligence failures that are stacking up with this administration, and he cannot, after a certain point, you can't go on, how many different bureaucracies can you create to disperse blame? I mean, look, first of all, you have the terrorist failures in 2004, you know, former U.S. counterterrorism official Richard Clark tells the commission probing the 9/11 attacks that Bush had not taken the terrorism threat seriously. We knew that. Mm-hmm. And CIA Director George Shannon admits more could have been done. But then January 28th, the lie about the yellow cake uranium in Africa. April 14, 2003, mobile weapon labs. That was a lie. May 16, 2004, Powell says CIA was wrong about these labs. He admits the lie. June 5th, Blix says no evidence of weapons of mass destruction. January 28, 2004, David Kay, you know, from the Senate Armed Service Committee says it turns out we were all wrong and that was the, you know, that they were lying. And now we have this thing with Powell.
Well, we have a lot of things with Powell in point of fact, because he's American foreign policy has become apparently more complex and less effective than the L.A. Lakers triangle offense. And, of course, the Lakers are down 3-1 in their series against the Detroit Pistons. It's clear that the Bush administration is experiencing serious setbacks in the war on terror. Saudi Arabia has become one of the latest hotspots. You know, you start out by saying it is the latest hotspot, but then, of course, you get back to the latest news, which is that there's a car bomb in Baghdad that has killed at least 13 people, including an American contractor working in the electricity sector, and he was one of five foreign nationals. Again, the whole car bomb situation during the rush hour killed 8 Iraqis, injured at least 60 other people. And these are things that the American administration is having a great deal of difficulty just like explaining away as, well, we can't do everything, we can't do this, we can't do that. Saudi Arabia, two Americans killed in the past week. Paul Johnson, who worked for Lockheed Martin, has been abducted, and the captors say they may treat him like he was an Abu Ghraib prisoner.
And these are Saudis. These are people that have allowed this type of behavior to go on for years, as long as it's not directed at the royal family. The Saudi royal family has allowed this type of insurgency among the Muslims, as long as it's directed at Americans and Israelis and Jews. So now what's happening, and they've been allowed to do that because of our relationship. You know, we've allowed them to do that in certain respects. We've entitled them because our relationship with the Saudis was developed in the modern world by George Herbert Walker Bush to, you know, to create a relationship to get Saudi money into the United States, and that relationship has gone on. And as you said in the last hour, that, you know, this stuff has been simmering and all came to a boil in the head of Osama bin Laden, and that's what's happening.
And that is what's going on, and the Saudis are walking a very, very thin line here, Mark, because they're trying to, on the one hand, either satisfy or keep at bay the fundamentalists that detest the Saudi royal family anyway.
Right.
And they're trying at the same time to placate the United States, who are the sworn enemies of the same people. So you have a very, very complex situation. But through that
triangulation.
Through all of that, Secretary of State Colin Powell says the Saudi government is, as best it can, trying to rein in these attacks.
The Saudis know that this is an enemy that is coming after them. The killing of them, foreigners, whether they're Americans or Brits or what are they, is a direct attack against the Saudi regime. It's trying to disrupt normal commerce, disrupt the oil sector, and the Saudis are going to go after it with all the resources at their disposal.
Well, Secretary Powell has other problems, if this one weren't enough, like explaining those inaccuracies when it came to the figures on terror attacks.
Oh,
because there's a State Department report that seriously undercounted the number of terror attacks worldwide in the year 2003. Here is Secretary Powell's short answer.
It's a very big mistake, and we're not happy about this big mistake.
We've been talking about this last. We started talking about this on Friday about how, you know, I thought the books were cooked, and now he actually addresses that. I don't know if we have that sound bite.
Yes, we do. He denied that the administration cooked the books to make itself look good.
It's a numbers error. It's not a political judgment that said, let's see if we can cook the books. You can't get away with that now. Nobody was out to cook the books. Errors crept in.
Keyword now.
Now, yeah, like back when I was the chair of the Joint Chiefs, we could have done this before breakfast.
We were all doing that. How could they even assume, this isn't political, this is a numbers error? How could anything be, I mean, come on, man. What does he think, we're all stupid? I mean, of course they cooked the books. It was an intentional oversight. This is my speculation. There's no press that says this. But, I mean, these were the numbers they used to promote Bush as being the anti-terrorist president, that this was what, and it worked. For, 56% of the people polled in the most recent approval rating say that he's doing a good job with terrorism. And we've been saying for weeks now, after that survey from the Strategic
Institute for Strategic Studies,
that he's clearly been losing the war on terror, and he's not only that, he's made it worse.
Well, see, here's the problem that Powell has now. He's coming before the American people, making these, oh no, we wouldn't cook the books, we couldn't. And the bottom line is, his credibility has been shot already.
Right.
In front of the world. That yellow cake thing is following him around, like a dog nipping at his trousers. And everything he says has to be filtered through that very basic inaccuracy.
When in doubt, blame Tenet. Still ahead, today's top secret presidential daily briefing. And up next, the Dream Diary here on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. So subscribe today at filmmovement.com or call 866-YES-FILM and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at filmmovement.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, Your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron with Mark Riley here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Sue Ellicott is in England baking a cake. Right now, it is time for my dream diary. As you know, I take these to my therapist every week. I make little scribblings in my waking consciousness. Here's last night's. It's a good one. So I'm Paris Hilton. All right? And I got to tell you, being Paris Hilton rocks. No responsibility, no cellulite, nothing in my head but a tiny tinkling noise that sounds like angels laughing. So I'm off to see America with nothing but my long, gorgeous legs and my collection of jeweled thongs. I'm hitchhiking out in the country in my see-through Daisy Dukes when two good old boys pull over and offer me a ride. Hi, I'm Paris, I say. Can I tantalize you with the prospect of fantastic, stupid sex in exchange for humiliating you on national TV? You sure can, they say. There's a fair amount of drooling and howling as I climb into the pickup. After a lively exchange about the exact firmness and texture of my ass, the topic gets around to politics. One of them says, I hope you ain't one of them liberals. I say, I don't know. Then they let loose. Bush keeps us safe. Bush talks directly to Jesus. Bush has hand-picked by Reagan just before he died. Bush is a real-life cowboy with a ranch and everything. Bush captured Saddam all by himself, and they gave him a good ass-whooping. Bush will keep the homos from raping us in our sleep. Bush lets us have all the guns we want. Now, for someone like me, this seems like way too many words. Adjusting my tank top for maximum exposure, I say, guys, I, have really short attention span, but he sounds great. Bush will give you tax cuts. Tax cuts? I love tax cuts. Without them, I would be worth only eight figures. After I said that, I had no idea how I knew it. This news makes me so happy, I consider having crazy privileged girl sex with both of them and filming it. But then I was like, whatever. That's so last week. I give each of them a jeweled thong and tell them that next time they're in Ibiza or Monte Carlo or Rio, they should, call me. I get out of the truck, wave goodbye, and go into a Walmart. Only no one was selling any walls, so I was like, whatever. I did catch my reflection in a toaster, and it was me, Mark, and I felt dirty. I woke up, and my bed was filled with that new car smell. Man, that was like a weird one. I hate it when I'm dreaming that I'm a girl. I don't hate it, but there's that awkward moment where you're like, I know I'm me, but how come I have these?
You're really psychic, though, because you dreamt about Hilton, and I stayed in a Hilton.
Oh, it's all coming together, man.
There you go.
The unconscious world is meeting the conscious world.
Well.
Okay, here we go. We've got a guest on the phone. This guy's going to be very interesting. He is the author of The Tangled Wing, Biological Constraints on the Human Spirit. And we're going to be talking about how, 45 million people without health insurance in the United States. Did you know that? The
Yep.
cost of health insurance is going up. And he is an advocate of a single-payer health reform. Melvin Connery is also a professor of anthropology and neuroscience and behavioral biology at Emory University. He's in Atlanta as we talk to him right now. Welcome to the show, Melvin Connery. Hello, Melvin Connery.
Hello. Little did I know I was going to be talking to Paris Hilton this morning.
Paris Hilton in my dreams.
Oh, in your dreams. Okay. Not in mine.
So now we want to talk to you about a couple things, but it seems that the primary thing we're going to be addressing is the single-payer health reform. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. It's what almost the whole rest of the industrial or civilized world has as their healthcare system. It means that money gets paid instead of to private insurance companies, it gets paid into a single fund, which could, in various countries, is more or less independent of the government. it's very strongly earmarked for healthcare. And so there's this one big insurance company that pays all the bills.
So that would be a government agency?
That would not have to be, but it would have to be an independent agency that's not in private hands per se, but
right.
but something like the Social Security Administration.
And that would mean that everybody would be entitled to the same health coverage, and it would theoretically be good health coverage.
Well, everybody would be entitled to a minimum,
okay.
And the minimum would be good. I don't think it's a good idea to try and set a ceiling, and I think there have to be options for rich people who want to get health medical care that they don't need to go ahead and buy it.
Private
market. Yeah,
right.
If that's what they want, let them do it.
Right. That'll always be there. They can always buy a doctor. Now, why are people against it? Why is there any resistance to this outside of, like, the massive power of the insurance lobby?
Oh, that pretty much says it all, except you left out the massive power of the hospital corporations.
All right. Would that be HMOs?
No, the HMOs are part of the insurance lobby,
okay.
but hospital corporations like HCA Columbia, which cheated the government out of $1.7 billion and is gradually paying it back, and lots of others. Well, not lots of others, but a few others. It is basically an oligopoly, and the for-profit hospitals that they run spend 20% more, or charge 20% more, I should say. There was a recent study showing that they charge 20% more for the same procedures, the same medical care,
right,
as not-for-profit hospitals charge. So that for-profit thing is really adding a big, big amount of money. But the biggest waste in our system is the administrative costs. You know, every doctor's office is like an armed fortress with several full-time people who do nothing but talk to insurance
right.
company
right.
and try and figure out how to get reimbursed for procedures. And and there are, you know, they usually, doctors are often on the phone with people who know absolutely nothing about medicine.
It's horrible. My father's a doctor, and he was a doctor, and he's on this sort of personal crusade against HMOs. We're talking to Melvin Connor, professor of anthropology and neuroscience and behavior biology at Emory, and also the author of The Tangled Wing, Biological Constraints on the Human Spirit. Let's take it to a biological level. We were just talking about stem cell research. Now, one of the fears that I have, if the health, you know, if the universal health plan is sort of governed by a presidential administration like ours, this is a presidential administration that believes that, you know, stem cells have a soul.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a problem, and you know, I don't have to go any further than Nancy Reagan herself,
right,
to prove that's a silly idea.
Can you address something also? Is that, you know, just because we have a lot of listeners and a lot of callers, that, you know, how does the essence where does the essence of human beings come from? You're a biologist, if not a soul.
Well, it comes from the brain, modified by various hormones and bodily chemicals. That's been pretty much accepted since the time of Hippocrates. If you want to know how it develops, you have to say that, to be honest, you have to say it develops gradually.
Right.
In the womb. So there's a certain point when I'm happy to say that the fetus is a person. Before that, you know, when it's a little blob of cells the size of a pinpoint or pencil point, that's not a person to
right.
me.
Right, right.
When it's, 7 months of gestation, it is to me. That's my decision, and that's the position of most Americans and the vast majority of physicians and scientists. You do have to draw a line somewhere. You know, on a certain day of gestation, you are going to allow an abortion. The next day, you're not. That is the way
right,
we have to,
right.
you know, make our laws. But it is going to be somewhat arbitrary. And I think it's pretty much in the right place since Roe versus Wade.
Got it.
Professor Melvin Connor, I was curious to find out what the difference is between single-payer health care and a national health system. Is there a difference?
Well, the single payer is one type, the most common type of national health care system. But there are ways, you know, the Clintons in the early 90s, when they first came in, tried to put forward a national health care system, and you know, have to, you know, my hat goes off to them for trying, but they did it in a way that was just not workable. It was way too complicated. It tried to satisfy every existing, you know, political and economic interest that's in the system now, and they tried to please everybody, and they ended up pleasing nobody, and things were dead in the water as soon as it came out. Germany has a system that's a national healthcare system that works well. It's not a single-payer system because they've allowed a handful of big private insurance companies to stay in the system.
Okay, Melvin, can we finish this on the other side of our break and talk about the comparison to the German system and what we can do here? We're talking about national healthcare. Our guest is Melvin Connor. We'll be back with him.
That's right. Stay with us. He is a professor of anthropology and neuroscience and behavioral biology at Emory University. Still to come, more with Professor Connor. You on the phones, 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. And the Presidential Daily Briefing Recovery Corner, still to come. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraq's prime minister called the recent car bombing attacks in Baghdad a cowardly act. All the victims were trying to help rebuild the nation's power stations. In Saudi Arabia, the search continues for American contractor Paul Johnson, kidnapped over the weekend by elements of Al-Qaeda in what appears to be another scheme to sabotage the vital oil sector there. It turns out that a small unit of interrogators back in November tipped off military officers about the abuse of Iraqi prisoners at Abu Ghraib. Latest disclosure raises new questions about whether senior officers in Iraq were alerted about the serious abuses before January. Top military officials say the only time they learned of it was back then in January. Massachusetts Senator and Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is said to be restless on the campaign trail, often breaking free of his security detail to mingle with potential voters. His pattern may be a reason for concern, say campaign aides. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee. We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
The Al Franken Factor.
Hi, this is Al Franken. Monday on the Al Franken Factor, week two of the 52 weeks of official mourning for Ronald Reagan begins with a lowering of our standards to half staff. Join me, Catherine Lanfer, and my guests, liberal Christian theologian Tony Campolo, and my ditto head pal, Mark Luther, the man our listeners love to hate.
On Air America Radio.
Welcome to our new building.
Wow. You guys must be hitting the big time. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. And I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to commit right now.
Listen, I've known you since you started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions.
True.
We had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped us with our new office and warehouse, and I stayed within budget.
Man.
It was half the cost of conventional construction.
Half?
And it took half the time.
You mean this is a steel building? It looks great.
Well, the building I ordered from the General was engineered engineered for our area and to fit our needs. Well, this building is actually the reason we're hitting the big time.
Call toll-free 1-888-39-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. 1-888-39-STEEL. That's 1-888-39-STEEL.
Three past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning's Edition, Air America Radio. Sue Ellicott is baking a cake in England. We are on the phone with Melvin Connor, professor of anthropology, neuroscience, and behavioral biology at Emory. He's also the author of The Tangled Web, Biological Constraints on the Human Spirit. We are currently talking about healthcare, national healthcare, but I want to shift that conversation into cellular biology and evolution. We're also going to be taking your calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0, with questions addressing national health and or embryonic stem cell research.
Professor Connor, I was curious to ask you, do you think that Americans at some point have gotten used to paying, for example, $10 a pill for their medicine, so that there's no longer the kind of sticker shock, perhaps, that people would have experienced maybe 10, 12 years ago when this steep increase in the cost of prescription medicines had started to manifest?
Well, I mean, the only Americans I can think of who don't have sticker shock anymore are the ones who are already rich and, they kind of walk into the drugstore, shrug their shoulders and say, well, okay, I can pay that. But, you know, the people who are looking at their grocery bill and their you know, pharmacy bill and saying, I got to do one or the other, eat or get medicine, those people are still experiencing sticker shock, and more so every year.
But are they not trusting? I mean, at a point, it seems like some of those same people have a problem with the single-payer system.
Well, some of them do. I mean, I have to say that, you know, I was stunned by a study earlier this year which showed that 64% of doctors now favor a single-payer system. That's a new development, and it just shows how great the dissatisfaction is becoming. And interestingly enough, a lot of doctors don't realize that their colleagues favor a single-payer system.
Well, the interesting thing about doctors, and I just know this from dealing with my father's bitterness around HMOs, is that they are not allowed. They're not allowed to treat patients properly because it's all a numbers game with HMOs.
And totally. They are, as I said before, arguing constantly with people who know nothing about medicine or have no training. Telling them, that they can't do this or that for their patients.
It's like instituted euthanasia. Not euthanasia, I mean triage.
It is triage. Right. But it's triage for profit. Basically, in the HMOs. Now, I have to say that ultimately there has to be some kind of triage in the system, and that takes place also under a single payer system or any national healthcare system. The reason is that you can't do everything that everybody wants. First of all,
right.
A lot of people want things that don't work, and that are totally unproven, and you can't do those. You have to have evidence, what's called evidence-based medicine, which means you have to study things and find out what the best treatment is and give people that.
Right.
And
right.
We do have to say no to the things that don't work.
Right. We have Phyllis on the phone. Phyllis, you have a question for Melvin?
Yeah, I have a comment and a question.
Okay.
Good morning, Professor Connor.
Good morning.
My concern is, of course, I'm very interested in a national health insurance plan. But if you look at the model that we have now, it's even as it is with 46 million Americans uncovered or whatever, it's breaking the bank. And, you know, they've shown that most of the costs occur in the last year of life of a person with all this high-tech intervention, not emergency, the ICU type of care. And my question to you is, I mean, in order to get full coverage, I mean, I don't see this model working. I want to, I would think we would have to go to a combination of preventive and alternative medicine type of thing where you have nutritional and
right.
herbal interventions.
So you're saying that how will this work? How can this plan work and accommodate what she's talking about? How can it give everybody this?
Professor?
Yeah.
Yeah, now Phyllis is asking a very penetrating question. She knows a lot about the system. There's no way we could switch to a system that would significantly add to the cost we're already paying. Our economy is increasingly burdened by spending too much. We spend far more than any other country on health care. But here's the thing. How do we spend it? A big part of every dollar goes to administrative costs that the other systems don't have. So we switch to a single-payer system, we get that back. That's
right.
About 23 or 24 cents on every dollar. Another chunk, big chunk, goes to profits for insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
Get that back. What do we do with that? We pay for the people, the 45 million uninsured.
Right.
And we end up pretty much where we are. The thing is, the other countries, where you hear about, like in Canada, the waiting lists, or,
mm-hmm.
They do have those problems, but that's because they're spending a lot less than we are. If you imagine that we stay at the same level of spending that we have now, but we switch to a single payer system, we get huge immediate savings.
And everybody gets coverage.
Everybody gets coverage.
Thank you so much for joining us, Melvin Connor, professor of anthropology, neuroscience, and behavioral biology at Emory, the author of the book, The Tangled Wing, Biological Constraints on the Human Spirit. We are still taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We will try and address your questions about stem cell research. We didn't get to him about the evolutionary science, but we want to hear your thoughts. We have some emails to read. We have all kinds of fun things coming up. Thank you for your very informed call, Phyllis. I appreciate you listening. So join us back here on Air America Radio with your calls.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy. Again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's Cortislim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with Cortislim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning's Edition with Mark Riley and Mark Maron. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is in England baking a cake for her son whose birthday is today.
Happy birthday to her son.
She'll be back tomorrow. Right now it is time to take a look at the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Also, I wanted to say call 866-303-2270. Call us. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled Spawn of Satan Reenters White House. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that former President Bill Clinton will be visiting the White House today for the unveiling of his portrait. While technically legal, his reappearance can only be described as our worst fears realized. First, you've just gone through a week's worth of comparisons to Ronald Reagan. So the president of yet another leader more charismatic than yourself is the last thing you need right now. It would be good if we could arrange a visit from a former president whom you would look good standing next to. Alas, sources tell us that President Coolidge is long dead. Clinton will undoubtedly seize this opportunity to try to humiliate you with his comprehensive knowledge of the economy, world events, and the English language. He may even bring up his book, but don't worry, someone is writing your memoirs as we speak. Understandably, the presence of any man who would lead a nation through 8 straight years of peace and prosperity must be considered suspect. Still, we advise you contain your rage and don't let yourself be drawn into any macho games such as comparing approval ratings or Scrabble. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. I guess we got sort of a free swim here going. I wanted to do this. Please pass. This is an email, sedition@airamericaradio.com. Please pass along a correction to Mark Maron about George W. Bush mocking Carla Faye Tucker when she was on death row. He did not mock her on Larry King or anywhere in public. He mocked her in front of Tucker Carlson, one of my favorite guys to hate, when Carlson spent time with him following him around for an article. Okay, well, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes I get excited and I say the wrong thing, but I'm not a journalist. I'm not a reporter. I'm a radio show host who's a comedian, and I'm trying to get better at that, but I appreciate you correcting me, sir.
By the way, there's another. Can we do one more quick email, Mark?
Yeah.
Connor, this is our last guest, Professor Melvin Connor, mentioned the corrupt HCA Columbia Hospital Corporation. I don't know if he characterized them as corrupt, but he certainly characterized them as part of the problem. Might also be worth mentioning that it is in the Frist family.
Bill Frist?
Bill Frist. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist.
Creepy, pasty Bill Frist.
Tom Frist Jr., Bill's brother, was CEO, for instance. The father also
involved. God, how come they're all tied into the, you know, devious, you know, people raping, you know, policy and institutions? Oh, Steve, how are you? What's going on, buddy?
Hi, Mark.
Hey.
I've got a daughter who has childhood diabetes.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, she's 11. She actually met Senator Kerry and tapped him, you know, in person and told him that her life was dependent on stem cell research.
Mm-hmm.
And he bent over. He's like Abraham Lincoln. He's really up there. And he bent way down and put his hand on her shoulder and he said, "We're going to do it."
Yep.
And what I want to get at is that my wife has been researching stem cell research for quite a while.
Yeah.
And there's a hypocrisy here between people who can say that in vitro fertilization is acceptable and stem cell research from infant stem cells is unacceptable.
Right. There's a lot of hypocrisy with these religious fanatics, without a doubt.
Explain that, though, Steve. Exactly where is the hypocrisy?
When you create eggs for in vitro, you overstimulate a female's body, you take those eggs and you fertilize them, and they're zygotes. They are the source of stem cells for stem cell research. People who want to make stem cell research illegal are saying throw those cells away, because that's what they do with the unused ones. They are held in check, they're used until they get a baby, and then they are discarded.
All right.
Okay, thank you for your call. I see what he's saying. He's saying that, like, they're willing to throw these things away when they're sort of left over from a failed attempt or a successful attempt at in vitro, and they're not willing to save them, nor are they willing to create them in order to create new stem cell lines, which is hypocritical. I understand that. Thanks for calling.
It certainly is hypocritical. I mean, you're talking about life, yet you're willing to throw away.
All they think about is, you know, is more potential Christians. They figure that everybody who's still alive and needs help is, you know, probably lost to them. But if you got a bunch of unwanted kids in the world, there's a real good chance that they'll, you know, become, you know, fodder for their you know, soul-sucking activities. Chris in New York City, how are you?
Hey, Chris.
Hi, good morning. Hi. I just wanted to comment a little bit on the healthcare issues you were talking about, and maybe you can comment on my comments.
Sure.
We're probably the only industrialized nation where healthcare is a privilege and not a right. I mean, let's be honest. I lived in Europe, I lived in Spain, I lived in France, and regardless of your income levels, you're permitted to see a physician. It may not be at a private office, it will be at a clinic, but you can see this. And my point is that, you know, these I believe that while the governments do subsidize health care abroad, I mean, the European government
right.
subsidize their own health care, we don't, and we're so far opposite where it's in such a free market state that perhaps our government could at least say, listen to the private companies, put a ceiling on the prices and stop gouging your consumers. Because quite honestly, the debate I have with right-wingers, you know, maniacs, I like to call them, is that, well, you know, innovate, you know, entrepreneurs. And I said, well, listen, it's anti-competitive. Why should I compete against the government? If you're going to say innovate, then make the playing field level.
Right.
You know, they say that about cars and hybrids, you know, innovate. Well, how do you do that?
Right.
When you're basically competing against an industry that is subsidized by the government. I know it costs $800 million for a drug to start from, you know, from concept to actual
right,
release
right.
to the public. I know that because of the failed attempts and so on. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way.
Right. Well, thanks for your call.
No, it definitely doesn't have to be that way. And the roots of what we have now can be traced directly back to the mid to late 1970s when people began to think that particularly public hospital systems had to cut down on costs. There suddenly became this whole cost consciousness situation where people were being let out of hospitals early.
Right.
And when I say early, I'm talking about before, not necessarily before they were thoroughly cured, but before they felt well enough to function on their own. So suddenly, if you had this disease, you were only allowed to stay in the hospital for X number of days, and anything over that you were on your own paying or the insurer wouldn't pay for.
He's also assuming that these corporations could suspend greed for a while in order to
help
people.
Impossible.
We'll be back with, liberal... Recovery
stuff.
Corner, more stuff. Your calls, stay on the phone, and me and Mark will listen to you. Come back.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can
can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLO-NASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLO-NASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004, when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10th, 2004.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio. It's Mark Riley over there. Sue Ellicott is in England baking a cake for her son, whose birthday it is today. My name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. Today, as always, I offer my counsel and help to my sponsee, George W. One aspect of recovery you seem to have down pretty well, George W., is appealing to your higher power. But when I hear you saying things like, God tells you to block stem cell research, but to go ahead and invade Iraq, I start thinking your higher power isn't really working. In fact, he's kind of a douchebag. Seems like your vengeful, petty higher power wants to be everybody's higher power. This kind of unprovoked unilateral attack is unpopular in recovery, the Middle East, everywhere. You and I both know that we have to surrender to a God of our own understanding. I guess I don't understand your God. That's not really necessary, but he seems to be like a bully, an enabler, and someday soon he'll be buying you shots and sticking his tongue in your ear. Time to trade him in, George W., and get someone, as your father once said, kinder and gentler. There's no reason you can't change higher powers in the middle of your recovery. A lot of people do it. You got to do what works for you, and in this case, works for the world. Remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knee before you bend your elbow. One day at a time. Denial is not a river in Egypt. Sobriety is a journey, not a destination. Blah, 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 blah. Get to a meeting, my friend. Get to meeting. Al in Mount Vernon, how are you?
Al.
Yes?
Hey, what's on your mind, buddy?
Mark, Mr. Riley.
Hey, yep. Buddy, what's going on?
Remember?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I want to talk about that, Medicare, you know, the single payer, all the national insurance.
Yes, sir.
So why don't we look at the same ones like France, who delivers the best at the cheapest, Germany, and even Canada, our neighbor. Mm-hmm. But obviously, the reason for this is the lobbying of the HMOs, and they're lining the pockets of the politicians. So the people got to get up and vote and tell the government what we want.
Absolutely.
Good point. And thanks a lot for calling, man. Good to talk with you. He's right. There is that political dynamic to public policy that says, you know, whoever's got the most cash can make the decision.
Can I talk to Mark? Can I do that? Mark seemed to have an alternate sort of. Can you get quickly? Mark, how are you?
Hey, Mark.
Yes, Mark.
Go ahead.
Mark and Mark. Hey.
Yeah. Hey.
How you doing? I just wanted to talk about stem cell research for a moment.
Yeah, quickly.
I'm a little uncomfortable with it because I'm a little worried that, that you'll end up in the end having the sale of the fertilized eggs of basically the poor, the disenfranchised, sustaining the lives of, like, rich people.
Right.
You know, and that's what makes me, in the end.
So let me understand what you're saying, Mark. You're saying that most of the eggs will come from poor people, or that poor people will be left
if it becomes big business, I think that the possibilities
so the poor,
are there, and there's got to be some kind of guarantees that things like that. I mean, it's happened before with
the
body parts.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. And
a
that,
legitimate
the,
concern, sure.
Yeah, yeah, bootleg body parts from around the world, and, yeah, I can understand that you're thinking that maybe the poor will be farmed.
Basically, yes, exactly.
Sort of like it's almost like a Matrix scenario, only real.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I know it sounds a little bit weird.
No,
but,
no, I think that it's a reasonable sort of
It's a very, very
projection.
Reasonable concern.
Thanks
because
a lot, Mark.
There is that whole question of, you know, what happens when you match unfettered capitalism with a technological, biological development such as stem cells.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't they cut costs like they do with everything else, with outsourcing and everything else? Why wouldn't they go, you know, to exploit, the, you know, whatever they can to get
and maximize profit
for the
yeah.
cheapest amount possible? Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I guess we can take one more call. Al, how are you, Al?
Hello.
Hey,
hello,
what's
Al.
Going on?
Good morning. I wanted to talk about the hypocrisy of the free marketeers and health care and drugs.
Lay it out.
First of all, medical care is not a free market. You
right.
cannot set up a medical school without government approval. You cannot become a physician without government approval. You cannot write prescriptions without a government approval. And to assume that health care, for some reason, is a free market when government has its hand in every aspect of the operation is a fallacy.
Right.
And if the free marketeers had any consistency, they wouldn't be fighting a thing like the war on the drugs, and they wouldn't be fighting people getting medications from across the Canadian border.
Exactly. Thanks for your call.
You know, that's a very important point he brings up, because the government is, in fact, fighting, and I mean really, really hard, people who live 5 minutes from the border, people living in Detroit, from going into Windsor, Canada, to
it's
buy their meds. And, you know, at whose behest and who profits from it?
Right. The pharmaceutical companies.
In the final hour of morning's edition, guess who's in the nuclear club? We'll talk more about stem cells with an expert and the presidential palm pilot, all that and more here on Air America Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you. You know, I've been watching you, and it doesn't look like you're having a lot of fun behind the wheel. And being the all-new Ford Focus ST, I got the solution. Me. I want you to listen to this. Hear that? That's a new engine that makes me the most powerful Focus out there. With over 150 horses at my command, I'm the most powerful Focus available. And if you're a fan of the curves, you're gonna love the way I handle.
New styling inside and out, and a confidence-inspiring performance-tuned suspension. The all-new Ford Focus ST. It begs to be driven.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil Liquid Gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil Relief is stronger, better relief too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil Relief.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's word this morning that reports of prisoner abuse in Iraq were documented in reports as early as November of last year. The documents were placed in military files long before military officials say when they first learned of the abuse in January. Top military officials have maintained that they first learned of the abuse when a soldier first came forward with pictures of the abuse back in January. One of the military intelligence officers in Germany has been quoted as saying that we were reporting it long before the mess came out. That's a quote. The officer asked not to be identified. Red Cross also said that it notified senior American military officials and those in the British government about the abuse, but the complaints fell on deaf ears. Vice President Dick Cheney may have more explaining to do. It concerns the Pentagon's pursuit and assurance from the Bush White House, including the vice president, that the Halliburton Company was being hired to develop secret plans for restoring Iraq's oil facilities. Pentagon officials made the disclosure to congressional investigators. Details of the deal were not considered illegal, but certainly raises questions about Cheney's purported lack of knowledge about use of Halliburton, the company he once ran. Some 26 former senior diplomats and military officials have formed a group called Diplomats and Military Commanders for Change. Many of the diplomats and military officials were appointed by former President George H.W. Bush and the incumbent. One of the group's principal organizers, William C. Harp, says President Bush should be defeated in November because he has put America's national security at rest.
The kind of a arrogant view toward international relations of the Bush administration, the meaning of the United Nations, the sense of resolution of problems by military force instead of by diplomacy and working with allies and showing leadership to other nations, we feel this is a very bad thing for America.
William C. Harrop, former diplomat and chief organizer of Diplomats and Military Commanders for Change. Iraq's interim Prime Minister Iyad Alawi used the words unfortunate and cowardly to describe the latest car bombing attack in central Baghdad. Among the victims were five foreigners working in Iraq's power sector. Three other foreigners were seriously hurt. An official with the Iraqi Interior Ministry says the dead were French. Alawi said the victims were all trying to help rebuild Iraq's power stations. More reports say a dozen people were all killed in car bombing attack. A second car bomb went off in a town southeast of Baghdad. Four people were killed there, several others injured. And a vigil has begun by family and friends of American contractor Paul Johnson here in the States. He was the victim of a weekend kidnapping in Saudi Arabia, allegedly by elements linked to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. Johnson's son says his father has been working in the country since 1983 for Lockheed Martin. The abduction appears to be another tactic aimed at sabotaging the vital Saudi oil sector. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
When my best friend died, I started to think, what would happen to my family if I died today? That's when I heard an ad on the radio for AccuQuote. So I called 800-500-8108. They found me life insurance from a top-rated company, and they saved me a fortune.
This is Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. Since 1986, we've been saving people hundreds, even thousands of dollars on their life insurance. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $20 a month. A 50-year-old, less than $50 a month. 20- and 30-year plans are also available. And ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. So if you're thinking about life insurance or want to know if you're paying too much, write down this number and call 800-500-8108 and start saving money right now. Or visit us at AccuQuote.com. That's 800-500-8108. 800-500-8108. Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Home. It can be down a country lane or in a high rise in the city. Surround yourself with your favorite things. Books, music, friends. Why not add Starbucks coffee to that list? Because the rich, distinctive taste of Starbucks coffee can be found in the grocery store. So bring it home. Brew a cup of one of our remarkable coffees. Let its rich aroma surround you and be glad you're home. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Unfiltered. You keep hearing that your vote doesn't count. Well, in the 2000 election, in too many places, your vote didn't count, and that's because the Republicans stole the election. They're not going to get away with it this time.
Yep, we're going to give you information so there's no excuses. Where you can help people vote, how you can be a polling monitor, how you can drive people to the polls, we're going to get you involved. On the next
Unfiltered.
This Wednesday, Chuck D and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. It's Monday. What will President Bush do without having the corpse of President Reagan to cling to? Cling to. That had a little rhyme to it. We'll tell you what's in the Palm Pilot for the day. Plus, we'll let you know what Barbara Streisand wants all of us to do today. That's coming up right now. I'm joined by Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is in Great Britain baking a cake for her son. It's his birthday. She'll be back tomorrow.
Happy birthday to him.
Yeah, I wish I knew his name.
I think it's Nathaniel.
I know one of them's Nathaniel.
Yeah.
Nathaniel.
I think Nathaniel's the older of the two. So
here's a little song for you two fans.
Good morning.
Aww. There you go.
So,
and she called earlier, so she's here in spirit.
Good morning.
I, we're such boys. When she's gone, it's like
it becomes a men's club.
We're going Sueless today. It does become a men's club. It's sort of like, what, mom's going to let us stay alone?
Yeah, right? Come on, what can we do now?
I got a few emails I want to kick out here. Sedition@airamericaradio.com. We referred to Calvin Coolidge in one of our bits earlier in terms of, I don't know a whole lot about Calvin Coolidge, but I feel confident you just insulted his memory by saying W is better president.
That's true.
I love your show and your attitudes as an atheist. I'm so glad to see that you address the subject of atheism with respect. Atheism rises above creeds and puts humanity first. The stem cell situation is a prime example of irrational subjective theology restricting the rights of humanity. Respectfully, Charlotte. Now, we're going to talk to an atheist kingpin, you know, later in the show. He's the editor of American Atheist Magazine, director of American Atheist Press. And also, you know, I'm not trying to be anti-Christian. I'm anti-fanatic. Stem cell research. What about when and if George Bush Sr. has a need for this sort of thing in the future? After all, part of going after Saddam was supposed to be to rescue Saddam because he threatened George Sr.'s life. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If the kid cares that much, will he change his attitudes? Hey, the most holy President Reagan has been dead and finally buried for 3 days now. So today, just like Jesus, it must be Resurrection Day. Oh, do you have anyone out there covering the story?
Yeah. At Penn Station in Manhattan, we're stopping people on their way to work. But you know, we're going to be talking to Frank Zindler a little bit later on. He's our guest, the atheist, and a person who knows a great deal about stem cell research. As well.
Leading into the news, the top news of the day, which Mark Riley will...
the top news of the morning.
Now, I've got to make sure everyone understands that, you know, that we're going to talk about Colin Powell, you know, saying, you know, that something was a lie. And this is not just, you know, the only lies around intelligence. There's been a lot of intelligence failures. There's been a lot of, you know, I want to also set this up that 56% of people polled in this recent poll of Bush's approval ratings approve of how he's handling terrorism. And it's pretty clear, as we'll see by the end of this segment, and we're going to be talking about throughout the hour, that, you know, he's failing miserably as a president, and he's failing miserably as an anti-terrorist person. He's created more terrorism in the world, and that there's been a series of intelligent failures and lies, you know, in this administration, and it's appalling. And with that... funny little anecdotes.
Yeah.
I want to let Mark Riley kick it out here.
Well, I mean, the death toll in Iraq, Mark, is just going up and up and up. There was a car bomb that went off in Baghdad. By the way, this was an SUV packed with 1,100 pounds, more than half a ton of explosives. 9 cars were destroyed in the blast, along with 3 SUVs. Happened in the heart of the commercial center of Baghdad.
As Rumsfeld once said, you know, democracy, you know, it's a little rough at the beginning.
And a little painful, apparently. An American contractor who was working in the electricity sector was among 5 foreign nationals killed, 13 at least killed in that car bomb attack. A video is showing several cars burning with fire crews trying to put out the flames.
And also Paul Johnson being taken hostage in Saudi Arabia.
Paul Johnson and
New Jersey
and his
contractor.
Yes, his captives say they will treat him as the Abu Ghraib prisoners were treated. Now, that's not an appetizing thought, I think, for most people.
It's a horrible thing. It's it baffles me that people are still like, the producer was just talking, had a phone call that we didn't take about a guy who had a conversation with a Republican friend of his. And the Republican friend of his said that, you have to believe in the administration. There's some things that obviously they choose not to tell us because they know best. How can any American, after what has been revealed about this presidency and about this administration, actually even, you know, entertain the idea that the government knows best? It's ridiculous. It's such an insane sort of paternalistic way to depict the government. And if this is a father, you know, if this government is supposed to be parenting us in any way, they're horrendous, deceitful parents, and we're all going to be very screwed up adults because of it.
Well, and it's true also, Mark, that, you know, conservatives also ought to be the first ones. And in some cases they are, in fact. lining up against what George W. Bush has done and what he's attempting to do. And, you know, again, evidence of this, aside from these car bomb attacks, aside from the killings in Saudi Arabia, Iran is now saying, look, we are not having any restrictions, international restrictions, on our nuclear program. We want Tehran to be a member of the nuclear club. They say they are going to reject any further outside influence on nuclear ambitions on the part of the Iranian government, just 2 days before the International Atomic Energy Agency Board of Governors meets to discuss Iran's program. Iran says they're just doing this to harness nuclear power. There seems to be a substantial feeling among other nations in the world that that's not exactly what they have in mind, that they really do want to build an arsenal of nuclear weapons as opposed to just being able to generate.
Oh, great. So now our president's going to be like, we're going to Iran with, I guess there's no more people left.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that their foreign minister, Kamal Karazi, says this is an irreversible path. So they're going down this road.
They're members of the nuclear club. You know, this whole thing concerns me, and I think you should, you know, reenter some of the stuff you were speculating about earlier in terms of the this triangle that's being created. But, you know, the dispersal of nuclear materials in the world, you know, should be the priority of an international coalition, that if this president had one, or if anybody liked this anymore, because he's alienated everybody, and right now there's already, what, you know, there's 26 ex-diplomats and military leaders, you know, Republican and Democrat, from serving under several different presidencies, who are like, this dude harmed national security, this guy's an ass. And if he had, the primary priority should be to manage and understand where all these nuclear materials are. But what's more frightening is sort of what you sort of speculated about earlier, Riley, is that, you know, with Iran coming out about this stuff and with all the other nuclear. So what's that triangle theory that you have?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different threads that you can put on this. For example, are the Iranians following the lead of the North Koreans? The North Koreans have essentially said, we are developing a nuclear program. We don't care what anybody thinks. Now, most Americans and most diplomats will say, well, that's a negotiating position that the North Koreans are taking versus some things they want from the Americans and some things they want from the South Koreans.
But this guy doesn't negotiate. This guy negotiates with nobody. He's a stubborn ass.
Well, see, what's scary about this scenario is, and what people ought to be asking themselves, is whether the Iranians are now following the North Koreans' example in saying, we don't care what anybody thinks. This is what we're going to develop. Now, are they doing that? Is that irreversible path as a negotiating tool in terms of how America will structure an Iraqi government and what that relationship will be between Iran and Iraq? Remember that the common point there...
In terms of the Muslim...
Absolutely. The common point there is the Shiites.
Right.
Iran is a Shiite country, and there are large numbers of Shiites that live inside of Iraq. And the Iraqis, the Iranians may well be saying to the United States by running this, look, we don't want to see an Iraqi government, interim or otherwise,
right,
that is composed predominantly of Sunnis, who, of course, are the folks that Saddam Hussein was marginally a Sunni. And the Sunnis had been in power inside of Iraq for a good period of time.
Who knows how this will play out? Ultimately, you know, it's like, it seems to me that it's almost like, if you project this into the future, what this administration is sort of planting the seeds to create is a unified Islamic front. Not unlike the Soviet Union was as an enemy, that, you know, terrorism now is just a method, and we've declared war on a method. And
well, let's look at another, not internationally based,
and it could be.
Let's look at another front, because there are now 26 ex-diplomats and military leaders,
right,
who say George W. Bush's foreign policy has harmed national security. They say he should go. This group calls itself Diplomats and Military Commanders for Change, and their leader is William Harrop, former U.S. ambassador to Israel.
It's a numbers error. It's not a political judgment that said, let's see if we can cook the books. We can't get away with that now. Nobody was out to cook the books. Errors crept in.
That was Colin Powell. That was my mistake. I should have let Chris Arbordoff know. That was Colin Powell saying that he didn't cook the books, the State Department didn't cook the books, in that inaccurate terror report.
We couldn't get away with that now,
no.
Keyword.
But let's go to see if we can get to William Harrop, who has a reason why George W. Bush should go.
The kind of a arrogant view toward international relations of the Bush administration, the meaning of the United Nations, the sense of resolution of problems by military force instead of by diplomacy and working with allies and showing leadership to other nations, we feel this is a very bad thing for America.
Now, of course, Harrop is speaking for a group of people, including folks who had been appointed by both Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush.
They're basically saying, hey, dude, you're fresh out of Friends here, and you screwed everything up. We need a new guy in there who I think Kerry would be, you know, absolutely perfect to try and reestablish our role in the world as somebody who, you know, is an example. We lead by example, not by coercion. Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot, plus how ancient mythology is preventing millions from benefiting from stem cell technology right here on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. So subscribe today at filmmovement.com or call 866-YES-FILM and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at filmmovement.com.
You work hard and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Good morning. There's a little television for you, one of the great bands of the 80s New York scene. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Hey.
Sue Ellicott is in Great Britain baking a cake for her kid. It's his birthday. She'll be back tomorrow. Right now, it's time for the presidential Palm Pilot. My buddy hacked in, and we got his schedule. Here's the president's schedule for today, June 14th. 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Everything is Clinton's fault. Wait. Clinton's visiting the White House today. New message. Everything is Carter's fault. Yeah, Carter. Yeah. 9:30 a.m. Welcome Bill Clinton to the White House. Make sure Jenna and Barbara are nowhere near Washington. 10 a.m. Unveiling of Clinton's portrait. Tell him it makes him look soft on terrorism. 10:30 a.m. Ask Clinton how to change the outgoing message on the voicemail. 11 a.m. Present Clinton with steam cleaning bill for Oval Office. Oh, yeah, I forgot to give this to you. Noon, vigorous exercise. I'm still thinner than he is. 4 o'clock p.m., congratulate Dad on successful 80th birthday parachute jump. Cancel reading of the will. 5 o'clock p.m., make absolutely sure Clinton has left the White House. Check the closets. 8 o'clock p.m., dinner. Make absolutely sure Clinton has left the White House. Count the silverware. 9 p.m., lights out. Make absolutely sure Clinton has left the White House. Check under the bed. 1 a.m., alone time with Clinton portrait. Make sure eyes do not follow me. There you go. That's the big... We'll have Clinton on a little later, I think. He's going to call before he goes over there. Right now, it's very exciting. We have a guest who's going to join us over the phone right now. He's the editor of the American Atheist Magazine, director of American Atheist Press. And we're going to talk about the politics behind stem cell research from an atheist point of view. Why do we all have to, you know, beholden to, you know, arcane religious ideas? On the phone right now is Frank Zindler. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you. This is a very exciting topic. What are the issues here surrounding this debate over the stem cells, and what is the ethical debate really about, sir?
Well, I would maintain that there really can be no genuinely ethical argument against stem cell research or its closely related therapeutic cloning.
For rational people.
Well, the only possible argument against it is a logically flawed venal argument based on a superstition.
Yes.
You know, it's pretty easy to sort it out.
Right.
The logical flaw, of course, involves confusing acorns with oak trees.
Right.
Thinking that a single cell or a blastocyst can be a person.
A blastocyst in your the lump of cells?
Yeah, this is a little hollow ball of cells that develops from the zygote, the fertilized egg.
But you're telling me that these little lump of cells don't have a soul, sir?
Well, that, of course, is the superstition part of this. You jumped ahead of me. That's not fair.
Sorry.
You're stealing my thunder.
Oh, you go ahead.
But anyway, yes, this is a superstition. The thought that there is this immortal je ne sais quoi thing that inhabits a single cell that makes it a person. That is, it's a person by virtue of having a soul. And, of course, science knows nothing of souls, and religion can do nothing to prove the existence of this ectoplasmic reality. The venality relates to the fact that religions are basically in the immortality business. They sell immortality. And for some reason, known only to the priests and preachers, they have to collect heaven's rent in advance.
Right.
So where does this leave us with regard to stem cell research? Well, the most obvious thing is that stem cell research holds out a very real promise of practical immortality, the idea that if you can repair any organ by developing a replacement from stem cells, that if you can repair any organ as it goes on the fritz, you basically can live indefinitely.
And believe me, the only people that are going to get that, if they do realize that, are the priests and the preachers.
Well, they'll be first in line.
Yes. And then they'll decide who gets it after that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We're talking to Frank Zindler, the editor of American Atheist Magazine, director of American Atheist Press, also former university biology professor, member of American Association for the Advancement of Science.
Frank Zindler, let me ask you a question I asked Mark earlier this morning. I mean, won't the stem cell situation change when large numbers, I mean, I hate to put it in this kind of crass terminology, but won't it change when large numbers of baby boomers get Alzheimer's and and their families start seriously lobbying for it?
Well, one can hope that it'll happen before then. But your point is, of course, very good, and we're all familiar with Nancy Reagan's actually rather eloquent call for letting up on the opposition to stem cell research. I never thought I would ever say anything in praise of Nancy Reagan, but I'm eating my crow today, and I am very delighted that she has come around in support of it. And, you know, as much as I disliked Ronald Religion, as I always called him, you know, I certainly would never have wished Alzheimer's disease on any human being. If you have ever experienced it in any loved one, you know what a frightful thing it is. You wouldn't wish it on your enemy. And certainly stem cell research and in addition cloning, therapeutic cloning research, certainly holds out very real promise to finding a treatment or perhaps a prevention, ultimately, for such diseases as Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm.
So can you just give me a little bit of a primer on how exactly these stem cells work?
Well, a stem cell is essentially a cell that never has grown up, to start with. When a fertilized egg begins, when a zygote begins, the sperm fuses with an egg, the ordinary situation,
mm-hmm.
It develops into a small clump of cells called a marula, and then that becomes sort of a hollow ball of cells called the blastocyst. And many of the cells in this early embryo, we'll call it that, many of those cells are pluripotent. That is to say, they can develop into anything. In the extreme case, a single cell can itself develop into a whole individual, a baby, whatever species we're talking about.
But it can also mock or become any type of cell, which would help it repair.
That's a little bit later, yes.
Mm-hmm.
As development occurs, as these cells multiply by dividing, as I used to tell my students, they become slightly more specified.
Right.
So this specification increases with each subsequent cell division cycle until finally this cell turns into a liver cell, that cell turns into a heart muscle cell, some other cell turns into a brain cell. Now, what we're able to do now increasingly is reverse this. This is where the cloning research has been so important, showing how you can start with a completely developed cell, like a heart cell or whatever, and reverse this process of development all the way back and turning it into a stem cell.
This is like, let me ask you one question here.
Yeah.
We live in a progressive nation. We have all this scientific technology to apply the type of things that you're talking about. Yet we're being held back by this, you know, arcane belief system I don't know what the numbers are, but I mean, how can this, you know, why is it such a big debate in this country? And if we can hold that thought, you know, I mean, let's talk about that debate, because we're going to talk about it with our callers. We're going to talk about it with you, but we're going to take a break, and I want you to stay with us. Call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270 with questions for Frank Zindler, and we'll be back. And Mark Riley?
All right. Frank Zindler, editor of American Atheist Magazine and director of the American Atheist Press. More to come with Frank Zindler and you on the phones, plus the countdown to democracy and the liberal agenda. This is Air America Radio.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. 26 former senior diplomats and military officials have formed an organization called Diplomats and Military Commanders for Change because they feel President George W. Bush's foreign policy has put American security at risk. Vice President Dick Cheney maintains that he never knew the company he once ran, Halliburton, would be deeply involved in a secret effort to develop secret plans for restoring Iraq's oil facilities. With the official week of mourning for former President Ronald Reagan behind them, both President Bush and Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry will rejoin the campaign trail, with the president promoting his Medicare plan and Kerry stumping in New Jersey and Ohio about the state of the middle-class American and the Bush economy. And Time magazine reports that 65% of American Catholics did not know John Kerry was Catholic. Political observers say Kerry has more homework to do in letting voters know who he is. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Before you make another payment on your home, your car, or credit cards, you need to know what's really affecting your finances today. Hello, I'm Peter Bissonette, publisher of Abundance for Life. Our wealth-making system shows you the underlying cause of almost all financial problems and how to multiply your speed to prosperity. Now, you can get a free CD on eliminating financial problems and generate real wealth from the very first day. Call 1-800-900-4211. Stop thinking you can't be rich. Get the Abundance for Life system. Picture this. Your debt, gone. Your home, paid in full. And your bank account overflowing with real wealth. Before you pay another bill, call 1-800-900-4211 to get your free CD on building personal wealth. But you must call today. These CDs are in heavy demand and can't be found anywhere else. Call 1-800-900-4211. That's 1-800-900-4211.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
So what else is news?
She said, I think that after September 11, the American people are valuing life more, and we need policies to value the dignity and worth of every life.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
The fundamental issue between us and the terror network is that we value every life. So that's it. September 11th is an opportunity to stand up against choice.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
We're back. Morning's edition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott in England, baking a cake for a kid whose birthday it is. I think it's Nathaniel's 8th birthday.
Yeah.
We're talking to Frank Zinwer on the phone. Frank Zinwer is the editor of American Atheist Magazine and director of American Atheist Press. He is a former university biology professor, and he knows his stuff. Call us at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. I'd like to hear from some Christians who think that stem cell research is okay. Some people think I'm anti-Christian. I'm anti-fanatic. There are Christian principles that are perfectly reasonable things. It's just the delusionary belief in some sort of strange superhero being that takes care of us all. Frank Zinwer, why is it such a big debate in this country? How can we be so backward at this point in history, sir?
Well, I think it really comes down to money and power. Religion is the biggest industry in the nation. It dwarfs even the multinational corporations in terms of revenue. And the power of the priesthoods is being challenged all the time by scientific developments and medical developments. And so they're not going to give up without a fight. And so they really have it in their best interest to keep America ignorant of science and obedient. So we're in a big, big culture war here. Some other people have said that, I think, but it's true.
It's crazy. This is so backward.
You know,
he's also putting a bunch of religious fanatics in the Food and Drug Administration.
Well, this has been an absolute disaster, and W has completely wrecked science in this country. If he's reelected again, well, I should say if he's elected again, because he wasn't elected the first time, if he was selected. But anyway, if he should win this coming election, I really fear for science altogether, and of course education. It's very, very distressing to me.
Yeah.
Now, Frank Zinwer, editor of the American Atheist Magazine and director of the American Atheist Press, I consider myself a recently, I won't say reborn Christian because that's a scary term. I guess a regenerated Christian because I had been lapsed for a long time. I believe I have a little bit of a soul. I try to do the right thing so that, in the event that I am judged sometime after I'm gone, I won't be judged too harshly. But I am in favor of any kind of research that can help cure disease. I'm in favor of any kind of research that can help humankind. But I wonder where you draw the line there, because there are some people, for example, who look at certain types of animal research as being cruel and unusual punishment to animals. Obviously, stem cell may not fall in that general category, but where do you draw the line?
Well, first of all, I kind of object to your equation of the fact that you are a decent human being with the idea that you have a soul. The fact that you're a decent human being shows that you have humanity. It doesn't show anything about you having a soul, if you'll excuse me.
I have to say one thing, though, Frank. Mark Riley does have a lot of soul.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm an African-American, right. And as Bobby Bird said, I know I got soul.
All right. Sorry to interrupt you.
We're changing definitions.
Okay, you go ahead.
Anyway, okay, I appreciate that. Well, yes, obviously all research on living things, whether it be potentially human things or non-human things, all biological and medical research has ethical overtones, especially if there is the possibility of pain and suffering involved. We do have, I think, very good regulations in place that govern the use of the study of animals in research, and especially so, of course, ethical guidelines for research on human beings. Certainly, from time to time, there are violations, but all I can say is that we just need to keep being observant and watchful and make sure that research is carried on in as painless a way as possible.
We've got some callers. You want to take some calls?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Eric in New Jersey. How are you, Eric?
Hey, Eric.
Eric?
Eric.
Hello? Guess not. How about Rhonda in New Jersey? Rhonda?
Yeah, let's Rhonda? Go to Rhonda. Rhonda!
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Well, I'm for stem cell research, but I've been wondering, has any thought been given to population control?
Good question.
When you're talking about, you know, regenerating cells and whatnot.
Okay, let's ask Frank Zimmer. Thank you for your call, Rhonda.
Thank you very much, Rhonda. That is an extremely important question, and it's one that I'm asked all the time. Certainly, if you and I and all the people that are listening start to be living to be 200 years old or so.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do with that time? Frank?
Well,
I can barely. Oh, my God.
But quite obviously, if we all start living to be several hundred years old,
this will
certainly exacerbate the overpopulation that the world is already experiencing. However, this is not a problem unique to stem cell research or cloning research, because all medical advances throughout history have had the result of increasing life expectancy, and life expectancy, of course, has been partly contributing to the overpopulation of the planet.
Right.
But I want to point out one very important thing. The single most important cause of overpopulation on our planet today is the Pope in Rome. This is not an exaggeration. Even though the majority of the planet is not Catholic, Vatican, through its political machinations, has been able to block, for example, American foreign policy, forcing us to cut off subsidies of birth control programs throughout the world. In the third world, where the population boom is the most disastrous and threatening, this is precisely where Catholic pressure has forced us to withdraw assistance. And so, really, you know, when anybody dies of starvation on this planet, I lay the blame straightly at the Vatican.
Wow. We're going to come back with more calls. Stay on the line. You guys are on the line. Frank Zindler is with us. He will be taking more of your calls. Frank Zindler is the editor of American Atheist Magazine, and we've got a lot of calls here. 866-303-2270. Please stay tuned, because this is exciting stuff here on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Welcome to our new building.
Wow. You guys must be hitting the big time. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. And I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to commit right now.
Listen, I've known you since you started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions.
True.
We had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped us with our new office and warehouse, and I stayed within budget.
Man.
It was half the cost of conventional construction,
half?
And it took half the time.
You mean this is a steel building? It looks great.
Well, the building I ordered from the General was engineered for our area and to fit our needs. Well, this building is actually the reason we're hitting the big time.
Call toll-free 1-888-39-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. 1-888-39-STEEL. That's 1-888-39-STEEL.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Past the hour, taking your calls for Godless Frank Zindler on stem cells at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. He is the editor of American Atheist Magazine. But right now, it is time for the countdown to democracy. As the deadline for handover of power to the Iraqis approaches, we'd like to explore various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. Today's issue is employee turnover. Leaders of Iraq. Okay, listen up. Please, listen up. Cut it out! I mean it. This is exactly what I want to talk about. When forming a new government, you have to be prepared for unusually high amount of, let's call it, employee turnover. Retaining quality personnel can be such a headache. For instance, just last week, you lost a deputy... Just last week, you lost a deputy foreign minister and a cultural affairs director. The official cause for leaving, in both cases, it was gunfire. Hey, I saw that. All right, this kind of staffing challenge brings up the... I'm having a hard time reading shooting guns at the same time.
Yeah, right.
This kind of staffing challenge brings up the need for quality human resource professionals. For instance, say you have a new economic affairs director. All right, now you'll need another economic affairs director, and fast. Economic affairs directors don't grow on trees. You'll need to replace them with someone who knows what they're doing but doesn't know what they're getting into. All right, I know it's a fine line, but when you have a volatile new government, you have to have a deep bench, okay? All right, preferably armor-plated. Good luck and God bless. This is day 16 in our countdown to democracy. All right. Good luck and God bless. Live free or die.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, that was a mess.
We're going to get some emails about that.
That was a mess. That was a mess of bad comedy there. Esteban in Manhattan, how are you? A question for Frank Zindler.
No, that wasn't so bad. That was great.
Okay, thanks.
Let him off the hook, huh, Esteban?
My comment is for Frank. By the way, good morning, gentlemen. It's this. We have people wanting to live forever, but with stem cell. But the thing is that we have forgotten that, and the opposite side of that is we have this incredible fear of dying. It's a natural thing, just like living. So much so that I think that we have forgotten that a big chunk of that fear of dying comes from Judeo-Christian type of theology.
Oh, interesting point.
And wouldn't it be the same thing, sort of like having a fanaticism for life and a fanaticism against death? It's not too dissimilar.
Right. Well, thanks for your call. Let's have Frank Zinner address it. How are you, Frank? You still there with us?
Yes. Well, first of all, religion is not the outfit that invented fear of death. They simply capitalize on it and collect the rent, as I
guess
said.
I guess just awareness is where...
Yeah. The reluctance to die is inherent in all sentient living things, as far as we can tell. Evolution certainly has... natural selection has selected for those organisms that best evade the reaper for the longest time. Those are the ones that can pass on more of their genes to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
But we must not fall into the fallacy of so-called natural law, the idea that what is natural is right, or that what is natural is necessarily good.
Uh-huh.
Right and wrong, good and bad, are purely human constructs. These are constructs that we make for our own purposes. And just because, after all, penicillin to cure your pneumonia is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
And, we certainly would not argue that it is therefore bad, because it is unnatural.
Right.
So
right.
Life extension, it's directly in competition with religion in that it plays on this reluctance to die. In some cases, it's a fear of dying. But as I say, this is why religion is so opposed to this research, because if we have de facto real immortality, then who's going to go buy their product? Anymore?
Exactly. And if we have real immortality, you're going to hear people say things like, you're only 90. What do you know?
Yeah. You haven't been around long enough to know.
Exactly. Ellen in Manhattan. Ellen?
Yeah, hi.
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 I just...
Okay.
Deep
take
breath.
It easy. You're all right. You're all right.
By the way, Mark, I thought that was a really good little piece that
okay.
you just did.
You know, I think that my reference to bad was just that, like, I had to operate a lot of noises, and I thought that the noises weren't syncing up with the thing, but it was beautifully, composed, and the noises, I was having a hard time with the noises.
Okay. I'm having a hard time with, I think it's Dr. Zimmer.
Frank Zindler.
I'm just Mr. Zindler.
Mr. Zindler.
Sorry.
Not a doctor.
That's okay.
Frank.
There we go.
Frank, comparing any non-sentient being like the stem cell, which, by the way, I am in favor of, with animal research, when I know as a scientist, the horrific torture that animals have been under. Things have gotten better thanks to people like IDA, in defense of animals, a lot of California groups, PETA, of course, but, I mean, it's still going on. And it can't be compared.
Okay.
You know,
well, thank you so much, Ellen. Are you okay? Good.
I guess she really has a beef with me because I was the one that kind of asked him to compare them.
What do you think, Frank?
Well, she has a point, but I don't think it's very significant anymore. Really, the amount of pain and so on that animals endure is very, very small nowadays. Most scientific research on animals involves no pain whatsoever. And it has been argued that, well, caging mice and so forth is inhumane, and that may very well be true, but I don't think that there is any pain involved in that. And certainly the good that can result from these researches greatly outweighs inconvenience to some of these animals.
Okay.
And when we get into research on things like monkeys and so on, The guidelines are extremely strict and stringent, and it is extremely rare, I think,
for any monkey or something like that to be enduring any real pain.
No more electrodes to their gonads, huh?
Never were.
Frank Sinwer, I really appreciate you being here. We had a lot of calls. I'm sorry we couldn't get to your call. One guy says, I just see it up on my computer here, Chris in Queens, it says there's a lot more atheists out there. And I guess that's score one for secular humanism, sir. And thank you.
Your program, and I certainly wish you guys all the best. I've been reading about you, and
now you're part of it. Thank you very much. Frank Zimmer, editor of American Atheist Magazine, director of American Atheist Press. It was great having him.
It was.
And we're going to be back.
Even if he didn't think I had a soul.
We'll be back with the liberal agenda, with Mark Riley and Mark Maron, and I think William from Chappaqua is going to give us a buzz. So stay tuned.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity, and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock, or brick to make that building attractive, yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll-free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good morning. We're coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio. We're going Sue-less today. Sue is in Great Britain baking a cake. Thank you for all your calls and all your input. You know, the fascinating thing is, if you're listening to this, is that you might assume that we're stifling, you know, dissenting voices. But I got to be honest with you. In that last call segment, there was nobody dissenting. And we will take calls that have the other side if they want to talk about it. But yeah, most people,
we just hang up on them fast. Only kidding.
Oh, looks like we got one more call. William in Chappaqua. How are you, William?
Good morning. How are you?
How are you, President Clinton? Nice to talk to you. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to the White House today for the unveiling of my official portrait.
How you haven't seen it yet, huh?
No, I'm just excited to go back to the people's house. You know, I'll be there with my wife.
Oh, look, hey, Bill from Harlem's on. How are you, Bill?
Hey,
what's going on?
Everybody, this is back to the Love Shack, baby.
Yeah, you're going back to the White House. Yeah, how's that feel?
I got some good memories over that place. I'm telling you, my portrait, I look fine. I tell you what, yeah. I've never been this well hung. I kill me.
So what are you going to do when you get over to the White House?
Oh, I got some stuff I got to take care of. You know, I got to look around. I still got some stuff hidden in my love grotto.
Yeah.
I don't think Bush ever found that.
So you got some hidden stuff over there.
I got some stuff. Yeah, I got to look it up.
Well, you have a great time when you go over there. It's always great talking to you, President Clinton.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
All right, you too, Bill.
So you got an email here. Of course, Bush has harmed our standing in the world and increased the threat of terrorism. When you look at his long-term goals, that is exactly what he wants. He believes in the rapture in those end days, and he will be lifted to heaven to God. And I think he is intentionally pushing to bring the state closer. I do a bit about this, about how I think that George Bush is absolutely the right president to oversee the end of the world, and that's why, you know, the sort of Christian right is so pro-Bush, is that they're ready to go.
You mean you really think George W. Bush is ready to lead us all?
No, just
the promise.
Just the people that are on board. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. You mean everybody else is going to be consigned to the other place?
Yeah, it might be here. You know, the meek are closing in. So what do you got to say about this soccer thing there, Riley?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what to make of this. The British were leading yesterday in their match with France 1-0 toward the end of the match. And then the French scored two goals to win 2-1. Now, you know, there was a story in the papers last week that said that people were saying in Britain that it was better for people to smoke dope than to drink. I don't know, but there seem to have been some disturbances in Britain, but not in Portugal.
Right. So not enough dope in Britain.
Uh-huh.
There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write down here your margin order for today, liberals. Okay, here we go. Get your pen. 1, organized mixture welcoming Iran into nuclear club. 2, protest abuse of computer-generated cats in the movie Garfield. Very important. 3, boycott Pittsburgh Pirates as offensive to Americans of seafaring descent. Arrgh! 4, file a lawsuit against Avion for causing your water weight gain. And 5, today's phrase, just drop this into conversation somewhere, Clinton was responsible for Reagan living that long. You don't have to support it. Just drop it in.
Just drop it. No problem.
Sue will be back tomorrow, as will we.
Yes, and we've had big fun this morning. Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, Republicans are trying to sneak in a new law that would let churches get away with pushing their candidates for office. The God Slate on tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. See ya.
Okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension, Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
You're listening to 1190 WLI.